Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
It, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
AM 1320 KCTC. Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Reaction to the president's new policy for Iraq. Democrats who spoke today, without exception, didn't like it. Delaware Senator Joe Biden.
What the president has proposed is more likely to make things worse.
Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell says Democrats ought to stop beating around the bush.
I wish they'd just say it. What they want to do, apparently, is to leave.
I'm Peter Mayer at Fort Benning, Georgia. The commander-in-chief has no easy answers for troops and their families wondering how long the war will last, how many more deployments to Iraq.
Now's the time to prepare this country and our military for the long struggle.
A familiar struggle to hundreds of Fort Benning troops returning to Iraq after multiple missions. Mr. Bush insists the U.S. commitment there is not open-ended, but today he indicated the next president will inherit the conflict. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Congressional testimony today about the war on terror and the threats against this country. Al-Qaeda may be America's primary focus, but National Intelligence Director John Negroponte says, don't forget Hezbollah. They are newly empowered, emboldened, and don't like the U.S. a bit.
Hezbollah's self-confidence and hostility towards the United States as a supporter of Israel could cause the group to increase its contingency planning against United States interests.
As for the proliferation of weapons, the great threats, he says, are Iran and North Korea. Oil prices, $51.88 a barrel at today's close, down another $2.14. Oil analyst David Purcell in Houston.
Fundamentally, our view is nothing's changed in the world over the last 10 days to make the price go down $10 a barrel. But the reality is It has, and it's that's a big move in 10 days.
Expect a good 10% drop at the pump, he says, in a week or so. The House voted today in favor of a bill to increase taxpayer funding for research into stem cells from embryos. Alabama Republican Robert Adderholt voted against it.
This bill unnecessarily opens the door to research that sacrifices one life for the potential help of another.
Illinois Democrat Danny Davis voted yes.
We don't know all of the possibilities and potentialities of stem cell research, but we sure know that we have a responsibility to try and find out.
The Senate's also expected to pass it, but in the House at least, today's vote would not have been enough to override the veto that President Bush promises. Most berries are really good for you, talking about raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, and of course, cranberries. Turns out the most effective berry for slowing the growth of colon cancer and of cancers of the mouth, strawberries. That from the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry. On Wall Street today, the Dow soared more than 72 points to close at a new record, 12,515. The Nasdaq gained 25.5 points. This is CBS News.
Let's kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, because here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Wake up the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh IE turnery is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
The damage suits against the Roman Catholic Church over pedophile priests have reached the Vatican. The Vatican is being sued, and a federal judge in Louisville, Kentucky says the cases may go forward. Attorney William McMurray represents three alleged victims.
The lawsuit is the first and only lawsuit in this country which has as its sole purpose holding the Vatican accountable for all the childhood sexual abuse committed by priests in this country.
The claim is the church knew what was going on and didn't stop it. In fact, moved pedophiles around from one parish to another to rug sweep it, and in the doing put more and more boys at risk. It's believed to be the world's first lottery for plastic surgery. Europa International in London has a monthly drawing. The winner receives £6,000. That's a little more than $17,000 toward the tummy tuck, breast enlargement, or facelift of their choice. Costs about $3 to buy a ticket. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can join this conversation in a variety of ways. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. And we stream live. It is live and interactive, 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com. But the best of all is talking, each of us talking to each other, person to person. We can do that, and it doesn't cost a penny to do that. It is completely and utterly toll-free. And the result, I think, is a really rich, vibrant conversation that takes place weekdays for 4 hours from 3 to 7, Monday through Friday. You are part of it. The more of you who participate in the conversation, I think the more interesting the conversation becomes, and certainly the more facets the conversation has. So if you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. 349-1320, write it down, put it up on a post-it. If you're not in the 916 area code, the number is 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. And I know that most of you have never called a talk radio show before, because what we know is, you know, fewer than 1% of you ever call in. So most of you listen, but you don't call. We would love to hear from you. We would love your thoughts as well. And I know, you know, you might have to crank up to make the phone call because you're not sure, you've never done it, it's a little bit off-putting, a bit daunting. Well, it's all those things. But you know what? Once you're on the phone, you're on the phone. It's like talking to anybody. And I would be a little bit, I would have some trepidatious. I would be a little nudgy to call somebody else. I'd be a little, you know, butterflies in my stomach. So I think I can... I think I can empathize. So, 349-1320. Okay. Now, one of the things we talked about yesterday was I had been watching MSNBC. We have all media coming in here as I'm on the air with you. All kinds of shows and all kinds of information coming in, and all kinds of internet and all kinds of everything, so that we can be up to the moment. And I saw a crawl on MSNBC, and I saw Charlie Rangel being interviewed, and he, of course, is a representative, and I think he heads up now... Ways and Means. He is a big deal. He after very many years of being on this particular committee on Ways and Means, he now heads it up. He never thought it would happen, and it's happening. So in any event, I see him, and then the crawler underneath it says that he is going to introduce legislation to reinstate the draft. We then go to try to find corroborating information, because I'm not hearing the audio. I'm just looking at the closed captioning, and you know. Well, we did find something. I went with it, but it turned out to be several months old, and we could not find any other corroborating information. Well, we still cannot. However, I have an advisory from CBS News that Congressman Rangel should have by now, and this is an advisory I received at, would have been about 9 o'clock Pacific. It was about 12 Eastern, and at around noon, the press conference should have been held, and CBS was sending me an advisory that New York Congressman Charles Rangel holds a news conference on a bill to reinstitute the draft. Well, we still are not finding corroborating information, but I guess we were right. So I had to say, look, I'm not sure we're right. And today I think we really were right. And as it turns out, we were ahead of the curve. So let me just reiterate. We like to bring it to you as quickly as possible, but we want it to be right. And sometimes in the zeal to bring it to you as quickly as possible, we are a little bit off on the information, but it turns out we were righter than we knew. So as more information about Charlie Rangel's attempts to reinstitute the draft become available, I will share them with you. But right now we're not finding much. If you find something, because I know there's some demon researchers out there and some crack news junkies or news junkies on crack, I know that you'll hear that we'll hear from you. And if you find something, please let us know, because we have lots of people working on it. And so far we're coming up a little bit short. So let me just share a little piece of news. I got this from Joan. Joan, she said, if possible, please inform your listeners regarding the following. The UUSS Forum Committee presents Iraq, Islam, Democracy, and the War on Terror. And this is Professor Ayad Al-Kazaz, professor of sociology at CSUS and a Muslim. We'll speak on Sunday, January 14, this year, 2 p.m. in the auditorium of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Sacramento, 2425 Sierra Boulevard, Sacramento. The topic, Iraq, Islam, Democracy, and the War on Terror. Professor Al-Kazaz is the instructor of Middle East Society and Culture. He's also been interviewed on numerous local TV programs regarding the war in Iraq and the Middle East. So Joan says if you could publicize this, we'd be appreciative. And so there we go. We're doing that. How many people watched the press conference? Well, here's what the newspapers have universally decided. One headline, Bush bombs. Did many of you know, we brought you that speech live. We have been bringing you a lot of good things. This week we brought you the State of the State speech, Arnold's speech live right here, and took your comments, and also had Sheila Kuehl on, State Senator Sheila Kuehl, who authored SB 840 on health care, universal health care, single-payer health care, which was exactly the right moment, because all these details about Arnold's health care plan were certainly in public play. And we brought you his State of the State, and then yesterday we brought you the president's remarks on the surge in Iraq, and took your comments afterwards. So I like to think that we are... we're kind of a good public service. I like to think of this as a really good public resource, and also we're lots of fun, too, if I may say. 349-1320. All right, so the ratings, Fox News. I don't have the network ratings, but I do have them for cable. By far, Fox News had the most viewers, about 4,400,000. CNN had about half that number, 2,361,000, and MSNBC had about half the number of CNN, and that would be 1,211,000. Viewers. So on cable, let's just do a rough of 3, 4, 7, maybe 8 or 9 million viewers altogether in this whole country. I guess nobody's interested. I guess everybody's already made up their mind. What do you think? Well, here's something that wasn't covered in all of the commentary about the troop escalation, and the surge is the wrong name. You know, let's get over that. I'm over surge. Surge, bulge, whatever you want to call it, it's an escalation, an exclamation of an escalation. Well, guess what? Nobody has mentioned this particular angle of the story. We're sending 21,000 troops in, and the process has already begun, if we can believe ABC News. And they'll be there very shortly, if not yesterday. Iraq doesn't want them. Iraq does not want our 21,000 troops. We're promising them where they are really not wanted. As President Bush challenges public opinion at home by committing more American troops, he is confronted by a paradox, an Iraqi government that does not really want them. This is the New York Times reporting this. The Shiite-led government of Prime Minister al-Maliki has not publicly opposed the American troop increase. Thanks, but no thanks. Oh, that's okay. You can leave them home now if you want. Well, you know, it was really a nice gesture of you to consider sending them. But, you know, no, that's all right. We have enough. We have more than enough here. We don't need any more. That's okay. Thanks, but no thanks. Prime Minister has not publicly opposed the American troop increase, but aides of his have been saying, for weeks that the government is wary of the proposal. They fear that an increased American troop presence, particularly in Baghdad, will be accompanied by a more assertive American role that will conflict with the Shiite government's haste to cut back on American authority and run the war the way it wants. American troops, Shiite leaders say, should stay out of Shiite neighborhoods and focus on fighting Sunni insurgents. Well, you know what? Whose side are we on? Are we taking sides in this battle? This is a civil war between two warring factions that have been at war with each other for about 5 million years. And they don't want us. I am happy to say, well, yeah, you know, we tried and we were going to help you, but if you guys want to do it on your own, that's okay. Thank you so much. We'll just start bringing everybody back home now. Well, we are sending, as somebody points out, Bush doesn't want to save Iraq. He wants to save his legacy. He wants to save his presidency. That is what this is all about. And I have the polls. And if you're giving me grades for Dickey's speech yesterday, I'd love to hear what you have to say, because people who have seen him speak and have covered him for a long time. Well, listen to this, Howard Feynman. I forget which news magazine he's with, Newsweek or Time or one of them. He says, George W. Bush spoke with all the confidence of a perp in a police lineup. I first interviewed the guy in 1987 and began covering his political rise in 1993, and I have never seen him, in public or private, look less convincing, less sure of himself, less cocky. With his knitted brow and stricken features, he looked, well, scared. Not surprising, since what he was doing in the White House library was announcing the escalation of an unpopular war. So he looked scared. Well, to me, he looked medicated and scared and a knitted brow. Maybe that was his serious expression. I am being serious now, and so I will knit together my brow, and I will try not to be too cocky, and I will try to be empathetic, even though I have no empathy for anybody, because I used to burn animals and explode them when I was a little kid. Anyway, the polls, they are out, and they're not good news for the Bush administration. I'll give you the AP Ipsos poll first. Would you favor or oppose sending more troops to Iraq? Want to guess what the numbers are? 70% oppose. 70% of us oppose sending more troops to Iraq. Only 26% of us favor it. And 4, not sure. They don't know. You know, they're not sure what century we're in. They're not sure. Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? And you got to wonder about the 26% who think this is a great idea. Do you think sending more troops to Iraq would help stabilize the situation over there or not? No, says 70%, and yes, say 25%, and not sure, among the nearly comatose, 5%. All in all, thinking about how things have gone in Iraq since the U.S. went to war there in March, do you think that the United States made the right decision in going to at war in Iraq? 35% said yes. But it made a mistake in going to war with Iraq? 62%, yes, made a mistake. So 62% of us. You know, this is a real flip-flop, because when we went to war, everyone said, oh, this is so great. Oh, it's John Wayne. Oh, my God, it's the cavalry. Oh, this is such a good idea. This is going to be so good. Well, I didn't say that, and I know you didn't say that. But a lot of dopey people said that who knew nothing whatsoever. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Kimberly in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm calling about the president's speech last night.
Did you listen to it all?
I watched the whole thing, and I did get to see Dick Durbin's response.
Okay.
I noticed one glaring deficiency in that. There was no mention of the contract where the American and British oil companies are going to get 75% of the oil profits, the contract that they're pushing through the Iraqi government right now.
Okay.
That it's a sweetheart deal, and there was nothing in his speech that said that our guys are going over there to protect American and British oil assets for the corporation. So I thought that
he left that part out. You think on purpose? Maybe he just forgot to read that page.
Maybe he did.
But yeah, he was so busy. You know, his brows were knitted, and that took an immense amount of effort. It's not easy to keep your brows knitted, and either he was trying to look serious, or he was scared out of his wits, in case he has any wits, or he was medicated, or all those things at the same time. What do you think?
I think he was looking confused and trying to read the teleprompter for the speech that was written for him.
Well, we had a person who is works as a speech pathologist call in to say she thought he had really been very highly rehearsed over a lengthy period of time. And I had an advanced copy of the speech. He did not deviate from it. It looked like there was almost no deviation from the speech.
But his eyes following it, you know.
He's what?
You could see his eyes were following the teleprompter, and then Dick Durbin really showed him up. He was reading from his notes and not from a teleprompter, and he just showed him up completely on how to deliver a speech.
Well, I have to tell you, they have been showing excerpts from hearings on Capitol Hill today and Condoleezza Rice. She's not calling it a surge. She's not calling it an escalation. Did you see what she was calling it? She should be in the advertising business. She's calling it an augmentation. You know, breasts get augmented, but I guess breast augmentation. I guess when those silicone wiggly old floppers get inserted into your body. So she is talking about a troop augmentation, and let me tell you, Democrats, we expected to hammer her, but there were some Republicans that were jumping out of their skin in talking to her, and Chuck Hagel was among them.
Well, maybe it's a presidential boob augmentation.
We do have a boob in office. We do have a boob who is the president, let me tell you, and I would like not to augment his boobism any further than it already exists.
I agree.
Yes, Kimberly, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
349-1320, 866-626-1320, Mike in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Enid. Why a symbolic vote on sending the troops home? Why don't the Democrats just vote to cut off the money and send them home? They don't have to ask to do this. All they have to do is cut off the money.
I don't think so. I don't think it's that easy. First of all, I don't think it's that easy. I think everything is buried in supplementals. And one version I've heard, and those of you who might know something about it, specifically, one version I've heard is it's not that easy to do because it's couched in a lot of other stuff, and you can't just specifically surgically excise what is meant to support the troops. And then, of course, you leave yourself with the allegation that you're not supporting the troops. But Murtha is saying he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, and Kennedy is saying they want to do it. But by the time they do it, these people are already sent out. They're already there, so what are you going to do?
Well, here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think that most of the Democrats in Congress have been funding the war all along, and they're trying to play both sides.
Wait a minute. Funding the war, they weren't in the majority. They've only just gotten to be in the majority. They didn't have any. They had to go along with the Republican majority, Mike.
They could have been a hostile minority, which they were not. It's because they're not on the Dennis Kucinich side. They're somewhere in the middle in between George Bush and Dennis Kucinich. And I think that even if they get their way, they're going to redeploy the troops into Kurdistan, say, and there will still be thousands and thousands of troops in Iraq, even if we have a Democratic president, which would be Hillary Clinton, who I believe will be the next president.
You know what? I want to recall Dickey, and I want to recall the troops. I want them all to get out of there, because the Iraqis, check out today's New York Times, the Iraqs don't want them. The Iraqis don't want this additional 21,000. That makes them very nervous, and for weeks now, they have been lobbying against it. So what Bush wants to do isn't to protect Iraq, it sounds like. I think what he wants to do is he wants to protect his presidency. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and what do you think? You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you very much, Enid. Wind, a lot of wind. I saw no snow today. Today's Thursday, so that 20% chance was exactly that. 34 for the low. Highs coming up tomorrow, 50. We're going to see 48 right around Saturday. Northbound Cap City Freeway just south of El Camino. Northbound Cap City Freeway just north of E. Northbound 99 to westbound 50. And northbound 99 at Broadway is all 2 and 3 car crashes. Looks like we got a pedestrian somewhere in the middle of the roadway. Southbound 99 just north of Grant Line Road. We have a pedestrian. I believe it's a hitchhiker right there on the right-hand side, so stay clear of that. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Love Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sacramento Home.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
And left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Satisfaction, you're making things happen while I'm relaxing like a Sunday afternoon. My dad used to tell me I was lazy. I got dance moves like Patrick Swayze. I'm the leftover turkey for the world's mayonnaise. The star next to the moon.
327 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. This wonderful conversation that we have daily. On weekdays, right here on AM 1320, and you can participate in it. And what we're talking about at the moment is we're talking about everybody's response to the speech last night, and we're also trying to find information about Charlie Rangel's press conference. This was an idea that he floated now, I think last fall, about reinstituting the draft. He's been wanting to do this, and then the Democrats put a big kibosh on him, and now he wants to do it again. And I think it is such a great puckish thing to do, whether it goes anywhere or it doesn't. We cannot find anything except a CBS advisory that tells us he was having a press conference earlier today in which he was going to discuss it, but we cannot find any information as to what the outcome of that was. So if you know, we'd like to hear from you. Red in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I thank you so much for taking the chance of some early information of the possible news conference by Rangel on reinstituting the draft. I think that of all the options that we've seen knocked down, including pulling money and including other ideas, Instituting the draft is the surest and quickest way to end this.
Well, even if he doesn't actually, if we don't actually institute the draft, but if people are scared and think that it might be.
The CEOs and people who started this war and oil company executives are afraid that their children and grandchildren might be sent to it. We will see it end real fast.
Well, maybe they'll say, you know what?
There's one thing that that I hope that will be included in Charlie Rangel's proposal, and that is that as long as there is a draft pool available, soldiers' tours of duty cannot be extended. We cannot take National Guard. We've got to send them home, and we've got to use as much of the draft pool as we can. And that should get us out of this thing. Once Americans have to make the sacrifice on an equal basis, we think a lot harder about who we sacrifice.
Well, I think you're really right about that. And my hat's off to Charlie Rangel. I think it's a great, puckish, tough move, and I hope he goes forward with it. And why the Democrats...
It should amp the conversation and discussion up a bit.
Absolutely. Thank you, Red. 349-1320, Rick in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm just calling to know, let you people know how much line precedent we have here. In the United States, my brother's with 82nd Airborne Unit.
Uh-huh.
He was in Germany last night at 8 o'clock doing a refuel. So he left yesterday for Fort Bragg. He was already in Germany last night by 8 o'clock. Now, I spent 20 years in the military myself and got out in 92. And I found it hard to believe that he relied to the people that he's going to send 20,000 more people, troops to Iraq.
Is your brother part of the troop? Didn't I read that the 82nd Airborne is going to be sent over there?
He was deployed yesterday before he gave his speech last night.
See, that's what ABC News was reporting. So when does he expect it to arrive in Iraq?
Well, he will call me as soon as he gets there. He's a command star major, E-9, and with 18 Airborne Corps in Fort Bragg. I think he should be there probably by Friday morning, tomorrow morning.
Has he been in Iraq before? Has he been deployed to Iraq previously?
This is his second tour.
And is he looking forward to it, or is he looking at it with dread?
Well, he's looking with regret. The only reason he's going back, Edith, is because he's got troops, young troops in his unit right now, and don't want to let those guys down by not going.
Does he have a choice? I mean, if the military says we're deploying you to Iraq, he doesn't have a choice about it, does he?
He does not have a choice at all. Based on his rank structure, too, his command sergeant major is the highest rank as an enlisted member. And he does not have a choice at all. And one of the problems he is, too, I was a drill sergeant in the military for about 4 years. The problem you have today is that these soldiers today does not have the proper training. You go to basic training in the old days, back in the 70s and 80s, for 9 to 12 weeks. Today is 6 weeks.
Six weeks basic training. Why have they cut it down?
Because to get your butt over to Iraq as fast as you possibly can. That's the difference.
Did they do that specifically for Iraq, or was that in place before we ever went to Iraq?
Before we started this war in 2002, or beginning of 2003, it was 9 weeks. It's cut back to 6 weeks.
It was cut to 6 weeks so that they could push him right through.
That's my personal belief.
Rick, I thank you very much for the information. We appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. The polling shows that most people are opposed. In one poll, AP Ipsos, 70% of us think that sending troops to Iraq, we are opposed to that idea. Here's another poll, and this one is majority of Americans. This is the Washington Post poll, a majority of America, this is Washington Post ABC News poll, a majority of Americans oppose sending additional troops to Iraq as outlined by President Bush in his nationally televised address where he appeared to be in a stupor. And just one in three Americans said that the plan for more troops and a stepped up combat efforts by Iraqi forces make victory there more likely. Nobody believes it. Even the Republicans are jumping ship, people who have supported Dickey. So the feeling is that what he's trying to do is not to preserve Iraq, he's trying to preserve his presidency. So we have some ideas here about how to stop the war and how to get rid of Dickey. You know, and I want to share those with you because maybe we can just figure out a severance package to send him on home. You know, what would it take? You know, you see how it works in business. How it works. So, you know, you do a severance package and you make it so attractive. Do you think he wants to come to work every day and pretend to be engaged in this? Oh, and guess who backed the escalation? You want to guess? Can you spell Joe Lieberman? Senator, Republicans are not backing this escalation, but Joe Lieberman, now an independent, I, after his name, instead of you, I, Joe Lieberman, it's all about me, moi, I, who chairs the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, came out in support of President Bush's plan, already underway, to send 20,000 more troops to Iraq. Now, remember, President Bush's people came to his defense when it looked like he was going down the tubes in the last election, and I really wish that he had. Remember, the New York Times is reporting that the Iraqis do not want this additional 20,000 troops. They are opposed to it. They have been lobbying for weeks not to be burdened with these 20. They don't want it. It's going to make it harder for them. So they don't want it. If Iraq doesn't want it, what are we killing ourselves for? And literally, we are killing ourselves by doing this. But Joe Lieberman, God bless him, he chairs the Homeland Insecurity and Government Affairs Committee. He has come out in support of President Bush's plan, already underway, to send over 20,000 more troops to Iraq. I applaud the president for rejecting the fatalism of failure, he says, the fatalism of failure. He sounds like Spiro Agnew, who is big into alliteration, the fatalism of failure, and pursuing a new course to achieve success in Iraq, Lieberman said. There is no more difficult decision that a president can make. Nobody supports this decision. The Congress doesn't support it. The president's own party, many people are jumping ship. They don't support it. The people don't support it. His general don't support it, and Iraq doesn't support it. They don't want the troops, but Dickey is out there hanging tough by his fingernails, by those hang nails, and he is going forward. Marjorie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marjorie.
Do you want to take any bets? I bet Joe Lieberman runs as VP with John McCain.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
Nothing he would do with...
Oh, don't tell me.
The traitor.
Oh, no, get us to the vomitorium. Marjorie, thank you for the call. 349-1320. Chris in Marysville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chris.
I'm just curious if charges were filed against Bush and Cheney under the RICO Act, if that ranch he just bought in that non-extradition country would be seized along with his other assets.
Chris, you should be writing spy novels. Yes, what else?
I also, is this the term where we find out that there is no difference between Republican and Democrat in our representatives?
Well, I hope it's not. I hope we're wrong about that, but I don't know. I think the Democrats have this golden opportunity to really go to town here and to really clean up the mess, to really act ethically. To act responsibly, we're hungry for it, and we wanted change, and we wanted the right people in there, and I hope they don't mess it up.
I have one third point that it's the 800-pound gorilla nobody wants to address.
What is it?
It's the corporations being protected under, what is it, the 14th Amendment, to where they're accorded the same rights as people.
You mean that they don't pay taxes to the extent that they ought to, as individuals
well,
would?
Well, not only that.
Or are you talking about all the huge boondoggle that's been going on in Iraq, where the corporations like Halliburton have been benefiting? There's virtually no oversight. It's just they've just been looting our treasury.
Well, it all stems from the same thing, that they can't be compelled to testify against themselves. That they're accorded all the same protections under the Constitution as a person.
No, but there are ways to bring suits, lawsuits against companies that are committing fraud. And in the Bill Clinton administration, let me tell you that if a company was trying to defraud the government, they were forever barred. I don't know for what period of time, but they were barred from doing business with the government. But one of the first things that Dickey did when he took office was to reverse that. So you could screw the government, and they were happy to keep doing business with you in perpetuity. Chris, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some crashes going on. Northbound 99, just westbound 50. It's a vehicle on the right-hand side of the road slowing things down as well. Northbound 99 at Sutterville and northbound I-5 just south of Sutterville Road. We have, it looks like a traffic hazard, maybe a vehicle in the roadway and a black dog. Led Zeppelin's running around in the middle of the roadway. I like that. Northbound 99 and Sutterville Road. So stay clear of that. Stay clear of the black dog, will you? Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320
Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Al Franken.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
People know this world is real.
Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7. It's a conversation that you can participate in, and we invite you to do it. 349-1320 doesn't cost you anything except a little few butterflies in your stomach, and I think we're big enough, boys and girls and buckaroos, that we can handle that. 866-626-1320. We're talking about what happened last night, the president's speech, the reaction to it, the approval. His approval numbers are even more in the toilet than they were before the speech, it looks like. Headlines all over the place, Bush bombs. People have covered him for decades, think that he looks scared and insincere. I think he looked on the medicated side myself, but how can we tell for sure? And maybe what we, and it turns out that the New York Times is reporting that the Iraqis don't even want us in there. So one of you just called in to say your brother is or was already deployed before the speech ever took place, and that is what ABC News was reporting, and was already by last night in Germany. So, what are your thoughts about this? And there's some information that I'm being sent by some of you, and I don't know if this is a good source or not. We're still trying to find out about Charlie Rangel and reinstituting the draft. We can't find anything about it. So if anybody sees something, let us know. But we did get an advisory from CBS News that there was to be a news conference today on a bill to reinstitute the draft, that Charlie Rangel was going to host that conference. Iraqi regime, according to one website, is set to hand over its oil reserves to U.S. energy giants. Oh, really? Could that be part of why we have so many people coming in now to Iraq? So we're preserving what, Iraq, when the regime in Iraq doesn't want us? Are we preserving Dickey's presidency? Tony in Lincoln, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Enid. Hey, all this talk about impeaching Bush, I just don't want to hear it until we find a way to get rid of Cheney first, because he scares me far more than Bush ever did.
We have to do this in order. If anybody's a constitutional scholar, how do we get rid of Cheney before we get rid of Bush? Because remember, Nancy Pelosi is two indictments away from the presidency.
Well, I bet she'd be better than both of them put together.
She would. I really agree with you there. I thank you for the call. Carol in Grass Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi. Well, I just picked this up on the internet. Senator Ted Kennedy has introduced Senate Bill 233 to stop funding for the war.
Senate Bill 233, Senator Kennedy has introduced Senate Bill 233 to stop the funding for the war. He said he was going to do it, but he also was afraid that by the time it got dealt with, it was too late because everybody's already been sent to Iraq.
There's a House Resolution 41 also.
House Resolution 41. All right, we'll look.
So I think we should call our legislators
and scream about this and say we want this. We want to stop the war.
It's the only way we can is to stop the funding.
Okay. Well, there are actually four ways to stop it, and I'll share those with you. So continue to listen, Carol.
Thank you.
Thank you for the information, for the update. All right. Here are the four ways to stop the war. Unauthorize the war or reauthorize it. In October of 2002, Congress authorized the use of force in Iraq. It could repeal that resolution and pass another one saying no more war. Or it could reauthorize the use of force on a different, more limited basis. Senator Robert Byrd argues for reauthorization. The idea is that the reasons we thought we were going to war, Saddam's supposed weapons of mass destruction and alleged operational relationship with al-Qaeda, have nothing to do with the current conflict. Two questions would follow from a D or a reauthorization of a war resolution, as they would from any flexing of congressional war power muscles. Would the president accept Congress's judgment? And which branch of government would the courts side with if he did not? If Congress spoke clearly enough to repeal the authorization of force, it's hard to imagine the other branches wouldn't listen, no matter what the president's commander-in-chief powers are. As one law professor writes, when Congress, acting in the vast areas of overlapping powers, tells the president no, 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 and no, the president must comply. The dean of the Yale Law School makes a more aggressive argument about the lack of continuing relevance to the 2002 authorization of force. So one way is to unauthorize the war or to reauthorize it. Number two is another way is to cut off the money. This would also be pretty straightforward in constitutional terms. Congress has the power to, quote, raise and support armies, end quote. If Congress votes against spending more on the war in Iraq, the president presumably would have to comply. But there's a delayed reaction problem. Ending future appropriations does not mean taking away current ones. Bush has the funds to get a troop surge underway, so that's already been authorized. He is not asking for more money at the moment. So Congress would be a step behind if it tried to club the troop surge with this blunt weapon. And theoretically, at least, it could risk putting soldiers in danger by blocking the replenishment of spent equipment and ammunition. Number three, another way to stop the war. You can condition the money. If you want more money, Mr. President, okay. But you've got to give us a fuller accounting of how you plan to spend it or a clear strategy for reducing the violence in Iraq. You know, we got benchmarks. You want benchmarks from the Iraqis? Well, we want some benchmarks from you. We're tired of your failure and your incompetence. We're paying your salary, and what are we getting for it? Aggravation, agita, lost lives, lost foreign policy, failure in abundance, a lost precious goodwill, the treasure, you know, the goodwill. All of that is lost. Or Senator Kennedy's tough love version, you can have your money, you can have it, but not for a troop surge. The White House would undoubtedly say that such tying of his hands is an unconstitutional infringement on the president's core power as commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the U.S. Bush's spokesman Tony Snow said that he's demurring from playing junior constitutional lawyer, but added, you know, Congress has the power of the purse. The president has the ability to exercise his own authority if he thinks that Congress has voted the wrong way. At least some Democrats appear to agree with Snow. Senator Joe Biden last week called it constitutionally questionable to micromanage the war. Biden said Congress can't go in and, like a tinker toy, play around and say you can't spend the money on this piece and on this piece. But there are a raft of law professors and lawyers who disagree with Joe Biden. They see little problem with Congress attaching strings to future appropriations. They believe Congress can tell the president that he cannot use torture or nuclear weapons for 20,000 more troops as long as it does so through the funding power. And number four, you can set a time limit. Congress could pass a law requiring that the president withdraw or redeploy troops according to a set timetable. One law professor says this is a way to go. He invokes a June 1973 law which gave Nixon an August 4-15 deadline for ending the fighting in Cambodia and Vietnam by saying no money could be spent on combat after that date. Nixon vetoed an early version of the bill, but in the end he got out on time. This wasn't exactly an act of great congressional self-assertion since it came at the tail end of the war, but it was something, and perhaps the current Congress could impose time limits at an earlier moment when it mattered more. So those are four ways. Let's go with the phones. Ron in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ron.
Oh, yes, hello. Everybody's not considering something. We go all the way back to the start of the war, which was, why would you attack Iraq? Well, because you wouldn't be in Afghanistan that long, and you could call yourself a wartime president. And then, no matter if Kennedy or anybody submits a bill to this president or cuts off funds and sets that thing in, he'll go, I'll just do a signing statement, like he's done on 700 plus other bills.
I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can do that with something from Congress, but who knows? He's exempted himself from everything else.
And can we do one thing else? Because I hear nobody talking about this.
What?
Nobody's talking about it. There are 14 permanent military bases that we have been there, are building there in Iraq. Who's going to be in all those little bases when we remove our troops?
Well, maybe the people who are going to be taking over the oil in Iraq for American interests. Maybe those people, Ron. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, scattered showers. Are we going to see them? Absolutely not. And I haven't even seen any snow today. I was really praying. Okay, to carpal tunnel or whatever you pray to, you know, the book. Everybody has, you know, different ways. That's what I pray to. I wish that it would snow, but it's not going to. A lot of winds happening. 29 for the low tonight on tonight and tomorrow, highs 50. Same tomorrow evening as well. Sunny on Saturday, highs 48. Our traffic southbound 99 west by Fruit Ridge Road. We have a little slow jam. Coming back northbound 99 is Sutterville Road. We had an animal in the roadway over there. It's a black dog and southbound 99 just south of westbound 47. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Have you heard about the cool hype?
Can you hear the sound of the stereo?
about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, we're talking about the mop-up and the follow-up and the, well, you know, the pooper scooper brigade, really, from the president's speech last night. Everybody seems to think it was a bust. That was one headline I saw, Bush bust last night. Rather an appropriate headline for a guy who is a boob of a president, incompetent in every single way except for marketing. They have been extremely slick. But you know what? Even all of their marketing skills has not been able to put the spin that they wanted to on sending more troops to Iraq. And it turns out, the New York Times is reporting it, and it was something that was never part of the discussion. Turns out, we just assumed that the Iraqis wanted the help. They don't want us there. Nobody wants us there. The Iraqis don't want us there. Congress doesn't want us there. More and more Republicans don't want us there. Most of our legislators don't want us there, particularly those who have to run in 2008. They don't want to be caught supporting this thing. The people don't want us there. In a morning after kind of a poll, 70% of us don't approve. We don't want to send more troops in. 70% of us. You have to wonder about that 25 or 30 who either doesn't know what it thinks or thinks this is just a great idea to send other people's children in. We're still trying to find out information about Charlie Rangel, and CBS advised us that he was holding a press conference earlier today to talk about reinstituting the draft. Now, I know he was jumped by the Democrats for doing that, and I don't know why.
listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320
Mark's reaction to the new Iraq strategy.
This is the craziest, dumbest plan I've ever seen or heard of in my life.
Oil prices dropped 15% since the first of the year.
That's a big move in 10 days.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. On the day after the president's big speech, support is scarce on Capitol Hill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
Top administration officials, including Defense Secretary Robert Gates, came to Congress to sell the new Iraq plan.
This is, I think, the pivot point in Iraq.
They didn't get far. Democratic Senator Chris Dodd said this is a policy that's failed repeatedly before.
If the president did grasp, I think, the sad extent of that failure, I sincerely doubt he would have ordered yet more troops into Iraq.
Republican Senator Chuck Hagel called sending more troops into a civil war a dangerous foreign policy blunder.
It's, first of all, in my opinion, morally wrong. It's tactically, strategically, militarily wrong.
And the consensus in Congress seems to be that it won't work. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer at Fort Benning, Georgia. President Bush has used this home of the Army infantry to deliver a hard sell of his revised Iraq policy. It was a clear response to critics of the plan.
It's important for the American people to know this is new. This is something different.
And it's a mission that will take some of the soldiers here back to Iraq for a fourth time, preparing the nation for what he described as a long struggle. Mr. Bush said his new strategy would not bring immediate results. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president at Fort Benning, Georgia. The troop surge will put even more demands on National Guard troops. The Pentagon has dropped the 24-month limit on the time citizen soldiers can be required to serve on active duty. President Bush warned last night that he won't tolerate interference by Iran and Syria. Today, in the northern Iraqi city of Erbil, U.S.-led forces raided an Iranian diplomatic post, seized computers and documents, and detained six Iranians. Now this.
Just kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Wake up the day. Go out back tonight. Where fresh RD tuna is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp romaine. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
The oil price plunge continued today with benchmark crude closing below $52 a barrel. That's down from $62 at the beginning of the year. And analyst David Purcell says gasoline prices are sure to follow.
A $10 a barrel drop in crude, that's pretty good. I mean, that's on the order of 12 or 15%. So you should see roughly a similar savings at the pump here certainly within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
At this point, it's largely symbolic, but House Democrats have fulfilled another campaign promise by voting to lift restrictions on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
The arguments are familiar. Democrat Rahm Emanuel of Illinois said stem cells can help treat debilitating diseases.
The potential on Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, diabetes. Here we can come up finally with a cure.
But Republicans like Robert Adderholt of Alabama are worried about the embryo.
This bill unnecessarily opens the door to research that sacrifices one life for the potential help of another.
The yeas are 253.
Democrats fell 37 votes short of what they need to override an expected veto. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
A verdict in Gulfport, Mississippi today could have major implications for the insurance industry and for homeowners whose claims have been denied on the grounds that Hurricane Katrina was a flood event. More from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
You won't hear much from the winning attorney.
We were very pleased with today's verdict.
Jack Denton says anything more than that could jeopardize other pending cases against State Farm. Denton's clients sued after the company denied their damage claim. A judge awarded them almost $250,000 in damages. The jury added $2.5 million more in punitive damages. State Farm spokesman Phil Supple says the company is surprised and disappointed.
We are evaluating our next steps and feel that an appeal
of this decision is likely.
Peter King, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Minutes after 4 o'clock, welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours from 3 to 7, where we have what we hope is a pretty compelling and vibrant conversation every day, and we do it because of your participation. So, 349-1320 doesn't cost you anything to call in and register, or 866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. We're still trying to find out about Rangel and his news conference. We think he's trying to reinstitute legislation, trying to introduce legislation to reinstitute the draft. That was a CBS advisory we had, and then MSNBC reported it yesterday in a crawl, and we have not seen anything else about it. So we're looking, and if you who are demon researchers find it, we want to hear. We've been talking about the mop-up in the aftermath of the Bush speech last night. Everybody thinks it was a failure. The hearings on Capitol Hill were a slugfest. Condoleezza Rice doesn't call it a surge. She calls it an augmentation, which is, I think, what you do when you add silicone to where your to your little boobies. And I want to add to the conversation that all the polls are telling us that as high as 70% of us don't want to see an escalation. New York Times is reporting that the Iraqis themselves don't want us in there. So who does? Congress doesn't. The Iraqis don't want us in there. The generals don't want us in there. The American public doesn't want us to escalate the number. Who does? Only Dick and Dickey, preserving the presidency, not Iraq. And I want to add this. In the budget that has been presented, Arnold Schwarzenegger's budget, it is about $144 billion spending plan that could wipe out the chronic multi-billion dollar deficits that have plagued the state. In the budget, besides slashing welfare for kids whose parents refuse to work, there's another proposal, and it is a dramatic policy shift, and I want to know what you think about it. And here it is. It is a proposal to eliminate parole supervision for thousands of nonviolent offenders. Eliminate parole supervision for thousands of nonviolent offenders. Is that a good idea, bad idea? It sounds like it might not be a bad idea. Depends on what they were in for. And yes, we have it from Charlie Rangel. Here it is. He has introduced a new bill, and it's today's date, to reinstate the draft. So guess what? We were ahead of the curve yesterday. The legislation would require national service for all U.S. residents, including mandatory military service for some during the war. National service for all U.S. residents. And let me share with you what he has had to say. He says, I have reintroduced my bill to reinstate the draft not because I support the war in Iraq or the president's plan to escalate the conflict. The reason is my belief that if Americans are to be placed in harm's way, all of us from every income group and position in society must share the burden of war. That has not been the case so far. The overwhelming majority of our troops fighting in Iraq are young men and women who have chosen to enlist because military service is an economic opportunity. They are motivated by enlistment bonuses of up to $40,000 and additional thousands in scholarships to attend college. He goes on to say that they are from urban and rural communities, he says, where there is high unemployment and few opportunities to pursue the American dream. My colleague, Congressman Ike Skelton, has confirmed that fact while pointing out the patriotism of these young men and women, and I agree with him. It is time that all Americans, including the wealthy, be given the opportunity to prove their patriotism as well by saluting when the flag goes up and defending their country in wartime. A military draft, Charlie Rangel is saying, would ensure that. My bill requires that during wartime, all even the Bush twins, legal residents of the U.S. between the ages of 18 and 42. Oh, my God. Your goddess must have to take up arms. Would be, but the Venus de Milo won't because she doesn't have any arms. She's disarming. Would be subject to a military draft with a number determined by the president. No deferments would be allowed beyond the completion of high school up to age 20 except for conscientious objectors or those with health problems. So no deferments at all unless you are a CO, a conscientious objector, or you have health problems. A permanent provision of the bill mandates that those not needed by the military be required to perform 2 years of civilian service in our sea and airports, schools, hospitals, and other facilities. I don't see how anyone who supports the war in Iraq would not support reinstatement of the draft. And he goes on to talk about it. What are your thoughts about this? I think here for Charlie Rangel. And what's wrong with doing a couple of years of public service? You can't call it volunteer because you're not volunteering here. They're going to make you do it. But if Charlie has his way. But 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What do you think about this? What are the Bush twins? What are they going to have to do? The president announced last night his intention to send, Charlie Rangel goes on to say, 21,000 additional troops to Iraq. The military is at the breaking point. With more than 50% of our combat troops already deployed in Iraq, the question is, where will the additional troops, including those who may follow if the war is escalated further, where will they come from? The 21,000 soldiers the president was talking about will not be fresh troops. Many of them are already on the ground in Iraq and will have their deployments extended. Almost a quarter million of the troops currently deployed in Iraq have served more than one tour, and some have been deployed as many as six times. As many as six times. Since the start of the war, more than 14,000 discharged Army vets, members of the individual ready reserve, have been called back from their jobs and families to serve in Iraq. And let me tell you, if you've had a job, you're screwed. I mean, there are companies like Penny's, I think, and Sears. I know Sears does it, and I think Penny's too, or at least they did. They will pay the difference. If you were working for either of those outfits and you were deployed, they will pay the difference between what you're being paid in the military and what your salary was, or else they'll still provide benefits or something. They're doing something nice, so you might think about that when you're making your buying decisions. But in any event, since the start of the war, Rangel saying more than 14,000 discharged Army vets, members of the individual ready reserve, have been called back from their jobs and families to serve in Iraq. Thousands have had their tours extended under so-called stop-loss orders. The forced, repeated deployments of nominally volunteer troops not only violates the spirit of the contract with these soldiers, it is a cruel and unfair erosion of the principle of shared sacrifice, which has been totally absent in the prosecution of this war. Last night, Rangel continues, President Bush warned the nation that we are in for further sacrifices in Iraq, but the truth is the sacrifice is being borne exclusively by the 1 million-plus troops who have served and their families. 3,000 have made the ultimate sacrifice, and 22,000 have been wounded and maimed. The rest of us have not been called upon to make any sacrifice at all. It is the first time in an American war in which the populace has not even been asked to bear the burden of the war's cost. Fighting this war with borrowed money, we are leaving our children and their children to pick up the check that as of now is roughly $500 billion and counting. That is Charlie Rangel. And I say, hear, hear, Charlie Rangel. Let's go right to the phones. And Sandra and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Listen, you know, I agree with the spirit of what he's saying, but the only way I agree with a draft is if you have some sort of connecting legislation that curbs these death merchants who are profiting off of the war, like some sort of cap on the percentage. Because why are we over there except for, like you said, the people don't support it, the government don't support, I mean, the Congress isn't supporting it. That's tyranny. You know, we're all against
it. Yeah, but what do you think about the service? If we're not at war, everybody's got a two years. Men, women, girls, boys, everybody. No exceptions, no deferments unless for health reasons or if you're a conscientious objector. That's
it. Well, I think that, like I said, in the spirit is good, but the reality, in every war, rich people have avoided serving, no matter if there's a draft.
No, in Vietnam, well, they tried to avoid, but a lot of people had to go despite being rich, although Bush didn't, but a lot of, you're right.
Right, and and all the elitist people didn't either. But, I mean, I just sort of think it's a good idea just to sort of get people off their butts to protest the war. But I think it's dangerous to force people to go to the wars that are being profited by corporations. I just think it's wrong.
Sandra, thank you for the call. That opens up. We have one line available, and we want to thank Stephen for putting us on to the correct information about what Rangel was proposing. Amir in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Amir.
How you doing?
Doing well.
I think what he's saying and doing is great, and I think that a lot of people don't understand. I was listening to the show yesterday, and there was a lot of complaints about the draft, but a lot of these people don't know. As soon as if it was implemented, shoot, that war will be over within the next week. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that. They would say they want to stop the war, and this is the only way to stop it on its heels.
Thank you for the call, Amir. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We have one line open. Ted in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ted.
How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind? Are you in favor? Are you in favor of the draft or not?
What's that?
Are you in favor of the draft or not?
I'm definitely in favor of it. I think it's a great idea. I'm a military veteran myself. I'll be retiring next month. I would just like to see the people who have these stickers on their cars support the troops be the ones who are faced with either sending their child into the military or being drafted into the military service themselves.
Oh, no, honey. They're putting a sticker, a decal on the car that says they support the troops. They're installing those flags, and then you know what? They're going shopping.
Yeah.
They're going to let you do the work. They're going to let their fingers do the walking over to the mall, and you're going to do the work, Ted.
Right.
Yeah.
They say they love this country, but they're not willing to defend it.
No. It will conflict with the remote control and shopping and emails. Thank you, Ted. 349-1320. Kim in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Enid. This is Jen.
Oh, Jen. Sorry.
No problem. I'm going to tell you, I applaud what the senator has suggested, but just like the other lady says, the rich have always avoided draft or no, and if they were placed in the position of going, they would be in the comfortable, safe environment while our young kids still were in there. But I have to make this one comment. It's one thing to ask someone to give their life for the country, and then they volunteer, and I think it's very courageous, but it's another thing to demand somebody to give their life. Because if it were me, for example, and I had a daughter, and my daughter did not want to go, and I didn't want her to go, and she got killed, I would have a lot of animosity towards this country.
I know, but I can understand that. But you know what? If we're all going to, then I think it makes us more vigilant about going into something.
Right.
We don't do it willy-nilly just because we can. We do it because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Because people could die. You could lose your loved one. And then I think more people would be engaged in the political process. It's like, wait a minute. This could affect me right here at home with my loved ones.
Right. But see, the point that I'm trying to make is even if we all, again, agreed to do it, the rich would still find a way to not be in harm's
way. Well, maybe we figure out closing all the loopholes we possibly can. Maybe that's the answer to that. 349-1320. Laura in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Enid. With regards to Charles Rangel reintroducing that legislation,
uh-huh.
I think that is true leadership. I also think it's a good start. Like your earlier caller, Suzanne, I'm concerned about the war profiteering. There's nothing that stops this Congress from enacting legislation that prohibits any profit-making, and I'd also like to see a new GI Bill of Rights.
And what would the new GI, what would it do that the old one doesn't do?
It would tighten up that you could not lose your job because you were called up for military service, that you would have financial assistance to buy a house. That you would have financial assistance.
Oh, this is an administration that wants you to put your life on the line, and then they want to cut your benefits, and they want to cut your medical, too.
And that you fully fund the VA. That is what supporting the troops really means.
Well, I'll tell you.
Slapping on a sticker.
That's right, and I'll tell you what else supporting the troops really means. It means not putting them in harm's way, Laura. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, one line open. Debbie and SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. My son is currently serving in Iraq. He's a Marine. He was due to be coming home and now has been involuntarily extended. And I think that the draft would be an excellent thing. I realize that there's parents out there that would worry about their kids, but no more than what I'm worrying about mine right now.
Well, I think every parent worries about their kids. There's always a risk. I mean, you know, you send them to college and there is a risk. Things happen wherever anybody is. There can be accidents. There can be illnesses. There can be tragedies. Everything is always a risk. And a military war zone presumably is a greater risk. Debbie, how long has he been serving so far?
In Iraq, or in, he's been in the Marines only 2 years. This is his first tour.
His first tour, and when did he get there? How long has he been in Iraq?
He's only been there 6 months.
When does he get to come home?
I don't know. They keep throwing different dates around.
You know, and even people that they send home, then they bring him back because they still need that. And I imagine you're thinking about him quite a lot, aren't you?
Yeah. He's over in Anna Barbara Province, so it's pretty dangerous over there.
Well, that's the one, the province that the president cited last night for having lots of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, I felt a little bit about that, too.
Yeah. Debbie, well, we are wishing you, we're sending you good thoughts and wishing you all the best, and thank you. And keep us posted, too, will you?
Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320. What about the draft? Charlie Rangel is saying even if there's no war, everybody does 2 years of service on behalf of the country. You know what? It's not a bad idea. For these rich kids who are whining because their parents won't spend $600 for a pair of tennis shoes, only $300, I say send them down to third world countries so they can see what poverty looks like, helping out in clinics, helping to build stuff for families that are really impoverished. Take a look at what poverty consists of. Jessica, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Yeah, I'm absolutely against the draft. As a college student, as somebody that's in the age range between 18 and 42, I don't want to go to war. I don't want to have to do military service because I've avoided military service my entire life. Nobody ever, ever, ever wants to go to war. I mean...
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you, Jessica, let me ask you a question. Nobody ever, 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 ever wants to go to war. Of course they don't. But when we go willy-nilly, are you reading the newspapers? Are your you might be, but are your friends reading the newspapers? Are they political? Okay, bye, Jessica. You can't say that in the air. 349-1320-866. 626-1320. Those of you who we stream live, you know why your goddess is laughing, but you cannot say certain things on the air. I know we're having a vibrant conversation, but the FCC does not take kindly to certain four-letter barnyard epithets. All right, let's head over to Cliff in Sac. Hi, Cliff. You're live with Enid. Keep it clean. Hi, Cliff.
How much are you getting fined for that one?
Well, it didn't go out on the air.
Well, I'm on my cell phone and I heard it, so I'm not streaming. So, anyway, I had a comment and a question about the draft. You know, there's a lot of countries historically, especially smaller European, even Asian countries, who've used mandatory military service as part of their sort of cultural ethos, and it's what their people have done. And they've taken advantage of that workforce to do public works projects and to do all sorts of great things for the people. And I think it would be a great idea. And, of course, those countries aren't imperialistic and aren't trying to go around and change and democratize the rest of the world like the neocons. So I think if you look at it, it could be a good thing. So that's the comment. And I think the other comment is that maybe it would be a great way, too, to get Americans in shape, which is a huge problem. And then the final question is, if they're going to require mandatory service, are they going to require mandatory service of all of the homosexual Americans who have not been traditionally allowed to serve?
Well, that's there is no provision for your sexual orientation here. As an exemption, there are no exemptions. The only exemptions is conscientious, if you're a conscientious objector, or if you are, if you have health issues. Those are the only two exemptions that Rangel offers. Now, I don't know if the Democrats are ever going to let this go anywhere, but I really think it ought to be considered. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, it is. They just have to apply it equally and fairly and take advantage of it.
That's right. So that the rich people, the idea is that if you're more affluent, if you have more power, and so on, you are not allowed to, to wiggle out of this service. This is something that's democratizing. The thing that gated communities and private schools are not. And this shared experience, I think, helps to keep us stronger and more stable. I thank you very much, Cliff, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320, Gail and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gail.
Thank you very much, Cliff, for the call. 349-1320.
All right, wait a minute. Gail, you can't do that. Sorry about that. Call us back. We're on a delay. Scott in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. I was drafted during the Vietnam War, and
I wasn't too anxious to go, but I feel it was a great experience. I think it's a great way for everybody in the country to experience a little bit of participating in our democracy. And I think if you ask anybody that's been in the service, even if they didn't like the service, they think it was a valuable experience.
Well, I think that's exactly what I think that's exactly Rangel's point. He is highly decorated in the Korean War vet, and he sees what has happened when this is not an equally this is unfair. The burden has not been equally applied in what calls itself a democracy. We thank you for the call, Scott. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together. They're from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, lows tonight, 37 highs coming up tomorrow, about 49. North End 99 just south of Florin Road. We have a disabled vehicle on the right-hand side in southbound Cap City Freeway at E Street. We have a two-car crash. Of course, southbound 99, a little slow, and as usual. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento.
My heart knows better than me.
to myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh. Ooh. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh. 4:30 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 7, 3 to 7. And what we're talking about, Congressman Rangel, Charlie Rangel, God bless him. He's in his 70s. He heads up House Ways and Means now, a powerful position that he thought he never would accede to. A decorated Korean War vet. It is set not well with him. He has been very upset that the poorest Americans have been carrying the brunt of this war. People who went in for the benefits and who now have been practically incarcerated into Iraq. And what he has done is to introduce a new bill to reinstate the military draft. The legislation would require national service for all U.S. residents, girls and boys, including mandatory military service for some during wartime. I think it's a great idea. I think the idea of national service, where we all devote a couple of years to helping out, I think it broadens you. It enriches your life. I think in every way it's a plus. And we have one line open, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ronnie in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing, Enid?
Good.
Hey, I was calling to let you know that I was drafted in 1991 by Bush Sr. I had already done 4 years commitment in the Air Force, and I was 3.5 years out of service, and I was working on my job, came home, had a Western Union letter in my mailbox, said, I don't care what you're doing, who you're working for, in 72 hours, you need to report to the flight line. I wasn't even in the reserve. I wasn't even in the guard, and I was drafted in. There's a secret draft that has been going on in this country.
What do you mean a secret draft? Because it's supposed to be, we haven't had a draft in several decades.
There's a part of the service called the inactivated reserve. No matter if you have that 8-year commitment, a lot of guys going into service right now, they don't understand the commitment that they're really making. They think they're going in for a 2-year stint. They're actually going to be in there for 8 long years. And we need to draft, because the draft opened up the eyes of the military to the civilian world. Because things are so closed now that people don't even know that. That's occurring.
Okay. So this is something that we ought to know about, that this is sort of a secret draft and that you were a victim of it. And how much additional time did you have to spend?
I had to do an additional year and a half. So actually I have 6.5 years of active service.
So does that mean they can still come after you to make it 8?
They can still make it 8. And people don't realize that. But if we had to draft...
How old are you, Ronnie?
Right now I'm 40. I just turned 40 this year.
Well, you know, are you afraid that maybe since they're you know, trying to get more people, they don't have enough people to make
exactly
up the 20,000, you think they might be knocking on your door anytime soon?
I am still, because I have a Bachelor of Science and I'm a registered nurse, up until 45, I can still be pulled in.
Wow. Okay, well, move and leave no forwarding address is what I'm thinking. I thank you for the call, Ronnie.
All
thanks
right
for letting us know about this. 349-1320, one line open, Tom and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
Welcome. I just wanted to say I was a conscientious objector during the Vietnam War, but I was also in veterinary school, became a veterinarian, and was actually could have been drafted up to age 35, but I've always thought that when I've looked at things like, I'm not a Mormon, but they require a couple of years service for their 16, 17, 18-year-old young people, and it really matures kids. And I think that national service could be international service. It's scary. A lot of things that people are pulled to join the military, they don't have to go out and shoot people. They could go in countries like Africa that'd be plenty scary. They could go in parts of the United States. So I think national service for men and women, everybody, I'm 100% for it.
I am too. I think it's a great idea. And you know, I there's so much uncertainty. When you graduate from school, you don't know what you want to do. And I think it can help direct people. I think it helps build wisdom. It builds muscles. It gives you some hands-on experience with the world. And if everybody's got to do it, I don't know. I just think I think it could be a very rich experience.
Absolutely.
All the way around. Yeah, I think Rangel's onto something. Now, whether the Democrats, because they tried to put the kibosh on him when he tried to do this last fall, they sat on him. They read him the riot act. But I hope this gains some traction. I hope they do some polling on it, see how people feel.
Well, and I think that there are some people that, you know, become police officers. My daughter is a police officer, and and it's not the job I would have chosen for her. But believe me, I think she's a good person, and she doesn't mind carrying a gun. And if you want to carry a gun, you could also have that tarp. I mean, and if people didn't want to, like in my particular case, I wouldn't bear arms, but I certainly would help in a national disaster, help in all the ways that the National Guard does. So I think that there's just...
Well, you know, what you would have done, you could have maybe worked in a hospital. If there's no military crisis going on, it's 2 years of national service. So you could have done a lot of different things that would not have entailed military work. Tom, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, John Z in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John Z.
Jonesy,
sorry.
I thoroughly and completely will support Charlie Rangel's national service. I think it's wonderful. I'm 82 years old, and I was in World War II. And I just think what's going on in the whole country now is just a crime. And I originally wanted to call because I wanted to call Senator Feinstein's telephone number.
Yeah.
Do you have those telephone numbers?
Honey, that's why they've got directory assistants and they have phone books. So I thank you very much for the call, Jonesy. 349-1320-866. There was a woman who used to call KGO in San Francisco every day. She'd say, honey, what is the time and the temperature? So God bless you all. We try to be fonts of information, but, you know, we're not directory assistants here. John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Radio Goddess. I say here to Charlie Rangel.
Yes, what do you think?
Freedom comes with a price.
Yeah, that's right.
I did my 4 years, and Ron was right about those 8 years. They can call you up any time within those 8 years after you've done your service.
You mean you're in for four, but they have eight additional,
yeah,
or eight altogether?
You have an eight-year commitment, yeah.
All right, so if you do four, they can get you for four more.
Yeah, if they need you, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So, these kids don't know, a lot of them don't know what sacrifice is.
No, sacrifice is if your parents buy you that $300 pair of gym shoes, not the $600 pair.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very big sacrifice.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. 349-1320, Joseph in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joseph.
Hi. I hate to rain on everybody's love fest about the draft here, but I'm completely against it.
Why?
I'll tell you why. One is we live in an era now where the state, with the Patriot Act and the suspension of habeas corpus and people being held in Guantanamo and everything else, the coercive power of the state has grown immensely under George Bush, and this is a big gamble because the if to instate a draft or something like that, to make it mandatory, you would have to increase the coercive power of the state over the individuals. You'd have to have prison terms ready to go if people defied it, as they did with the draft, a 20-year. They made it a felony if you avoided the draft. That's how they got people.
Yeah, but I think the idea of shared sacrifice, everybody has to do it. This is just what we require. We require you to do certain things. We require you to drive the speed limit. We require that you not drive while drunk. I mean, there are certain rules that we impose in this country if you want to live in this country. And that would be another, you got to haul your weight here. It's not just going to the mall and eating fast food. You got to do 2 years of service. We're going to require it.
Well, it's very nice if you trust George Bush as the commander-in-chief. It would just make a bigger army for him to abuse.
Well, I think if you had people who were more engaged, because it could really be their bacon on the line, those people would take to the streets, and I don't think people would willy-nilly just have a little recreational war like Dickie has been doing.
Well, the rich would get out of it by just registering their citizenship in the Cayman Islands or something like that. The rich people would still get out of it.
Well, maybe we'll figure out some ways to combat that. If you go and register yourself in the Cayman Islands, we'll figure out a way around that.
Well, what about if...
Well, how old, Joseph, how old are you?
What if a kid...
How old are you?
I'm 47 years old.
All right, you're 47, so you're too old for this. This is to 42.
Well, I have children that are that age, and none of them would want to go into the military. I mean,
but they're doing also public service for 2 years if there's no war. You have an objection to that?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do, because
the idea is that you're going to, he's not the commander-in-chief. You're going to increase the powers of the commander-in-chief.
What about the responsibility of your kids to step up to the plate and do some service on behalf of the country? Is there a problem? Do you have a problem with that?
No. That's why we have AmeriCorps and the Peace Corps.
It's volunteer. This would be mandatory. Everybody's got to do it.
Well, that means you're going to increase the fascist tendencies of the country.
Yeah, but you're also possibly going to increase the democracy of the country and the goodwill of the country and expand people's generosity as well, don't you think?
Have you been in America the last 6 years? I mean,
I think I've been in America for the last 6 years, where everybody's gotten greedier and more selfish, and everybody wants to live in gated communities, and they want to protect their own little acre of net worth, and screw you. That's the way I think we have become.
Well, it's extremely naive to think that we're going to have administrations that are going to even-handedly enforce this new power over the state.
I think your argument's an interesting one, but I think you just don't want to see your kids step up to the plate and do their service.
No, they could volunteer. I just don't like the coercive aspect of it.
Do you like it that it's coercive that you're not supposed to drive while drunk? Do you find that coercive?
Well, that's just a silly talk radio choice.
No. Is that coercive? Is that coercive that you shouldn't drive while drunk or that you should not exceed the speed limit? Are those both coercive?
They don't make you do something for 2 years.
Well, forever, you're forever not supposed to drive while you're drunk. Not for 2 years, but forever. You're really not supposed to drive while you're drunk. We got rules. And this is another rule. I don't have a problem with it. Do you think Joseph is being kind of selfish? Is he embody the new kind of greed? He says it would add a whole layer of punishment without habeas corpus, with all the safeguards that the Bush administration has disappeared. What do you think about that? We have one line open, 349-1320. Or is he just being selfish? He didn't want the government to tell him or his children that he might have to donate 2 years on doing his part in shoring up our crumbling democracy. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, I'm being selfish. I want to go shopping right now. I need a new phone, Enid. Let's go.
And this is apropos of?
You talked about being selfish, and I just wanted to prove that I am as well. Fulton Avenue or Coney Avenue, we do have a two-car crash going on, and on the opposite side. Same crash, but we are stopped down, especially the freeway service right there. Northbound Cap City Freeway, just north of El Camino, we have hit and run. And eastbound 50 at Zinfandel Drive, a disabled vehicle is blocking freeway service there as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Tara. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's left channel.
The Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about Charlie Rangel, and he wants to introduce legislation to reinstitute the draft. And if there's no military adventure going on, such as we are embarked on now, talk about the road to hell, he would say that he's saying that we want to do two years of volunteer service. So if there's no wartime necessity for military troops, everybody, men and women, girls and boys, would be required to do 2 years. You know, in some public service capacity. I really think that's a wonderful idea. I think we've gotten spoiled. We've gotten flabby in every way, in spirit and certainly in body. Bob in Vacaville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bob.
Enid.
Yes, and to you.
Well, I would agree with you with regard to the benefits of service and on terms of growth and development of our children and that. I could not disagree with you more with regard to the indentured servitude that you propose.
What do you mean indentured servitude? Did you ever register for the military?
Well, actually, I've worked in the military for 20 years. I actually had to stop and put my phone down to get on a military installation I'm calling you from, so I've been around them for 25 years.
Okay, so what is it that you're objecting to since you're a military guy? Or are you just a civilian working in military environments?
If I'm a civilian in a military environment, and here's my concern. It is indentured servitude. This country was based on individual liberty. It was not based on a court.
Well, what about your responsibilities to help out and do your part? What about that responsibility?
My responsibility is to be a good citizen, be an upright individual.
I think it's not. I have to tell you, Bob, I think it sounds selfish.
Well, all right, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is the Emancipation Proclamation, was that just a selfish thing for all those
I'm talking about everybody does 2 years, men or women, they do it in the Israeli army in army service, but let's say there's no military action going on. Everybody volunteers 2 years. We work in hospitals. We work wherever our skills are needed, maybe in inner city projects where there aren't enough teachers, there aren't enough good teachers. You know, we're sending people to the Peace Corps, to VISTA, if those entities still exist in the way that they once did. So why don't we do that, deploy everybody to make this country a better, stronger country instead of a more selfish, a more me-oriented kind of a country?
Well, because the idea of selfishness is it's my life. That's what liberty is about. And I pay my taxes, and I live within the rules of the society. And if the society needs those resources, then the society needs to either have a definitive need in which everyone realizes, well, we better get out there and fight Hitler, let's say, or they need to be paying for that. And when you use the word voluntary, you've used it a couple of times now.
Well, it isn't voluntary if it's mandatory. It's not voluntary. But it has, you know, it's public service. Even if you don't want to do it, kicking and screaming, doing it for 2 years, I think it makes you a better person. Don't you think it makes you a better person?
I do not disagree that the service would do so. My question to you would be, by what right do you force me to do so?
By the right of this year being your admission charge to live in this great democracy and to keep it afloat. Because the way it's going now, it's not going to be afloat, because I think that people will muster all these arguments about this isn't liberty, and I think these are only cover stories for an essential kind of selfishness that has overtaken us, and a kind of narcissism.
I have to disagree. I'm a constitutionalist who looks at the Constitution.
I think you're using the Constitution to mask a kind of selfishness, Bob, if I may say so. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Gail and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gail.
Hi, Enid.
Are you in favor of the draft, yes or no?
Yes, I am. And I am because of one reason, is I believe that It will create a reason for people to come out and vote again. I think voter turnout, it keeps dropping, and when you have your children's lives at stake, I think you're more apt to think you want to vote the right person into office.
Well, that's right, and you want to get more politically engaged.
That's right.
Because it could have very grave consequences for your family. It's not somebody else's kids, and you can go shopping, slap a few stickers on the car, hang a few flags off the car, and then just go about your merry way. Then I think it has more resonance. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Sal in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sal.
Hi, Enid. You're very wrong.
I am. Why?
Because we pay our taxes, and the Constitution is all about being selfish and individual rights and liberties.
You don't feel any obligation to pitch in and help this great country survive?
Listen, you know what? What you're proposing would help this country survive, like the Third Reich was going to survive.
No, you can tell us that the Earth is flat too, but you got to provide some justification. How is it that we would not survive if people pitched in and really helped out?
We would not survive as a free country anymore. We would no longer be a
free country. We're a free country with no habeas corpus and with the government able to scan our mail.
Habeas corpus is all about not forcing people into military service.
No, I think it's about more than that, Sal. Are you telling me that under the guise of certain constitutionalism that you're going to invoke, and I think incorrectly, you're really, I think, masking some selfishness here, don't you think?
I'm not masking it at all. I'm taking it on. I'm proud of being selfish.
You're proud of being selfish.
Regard.
All right. You're a selfish American, and we thank you for calling. 349-1320. What do you think about what Sal had to say? He says the Constitution not only provides for the pursuit of happiness, but also selfishness in an extreme form. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. What are your thoughts about that? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Fulton Avenue at Marconi Avenue. We have a two-car crash. Hit and run at northbound Cap City Freeway just north of El Camino Avenue and northbound I-5 just north of Elk Grove Boulevard. Things are slowing down there. Madison Avenue just west of Manzanita Avenue. We have a two-car crash there. And, in fact, it looks like Madison Avenue is pretty thick, especially when you get up there to I-80 to get west or eastbound. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
You should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Skepticism was about the mildest sentiment as Capitol Hill weighed in on the troop buildup in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The secretaries of defense and state had a rough day as members of Congress expressed anger and frustration at the new policy to send more troops to Iraq. Morally and tactically wrong, said Republican Senator Chuck Hagel.
The most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice acknowledged this policy, like the last one, does depend on a shaky Iraqi government.
We're clear-eyed, too, about the fact that the Iraqi government has to perform, and we're clear-eyed about the fact that they've not in the past.
But she and other administration officials insisted they have to keep trying. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush spoke to a friendlier crowd, soldiers and their families at Fort Benning, Georgia.
What's new about this plan is there will be enough troops to clear, build, and hold, and that our troops will be able to move alongside the Iraqis without political interference.
He said there's no question that the situation is difficult, but said failure in Iraq would be a disaster for our future. CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Bob Schieffer says the president's speech last night apparently didn't change many minds.
A CBS News poll conducted after the speech showed 68% of the people polled are still uneasy about the president's ability to make the right decisions about Iraq. That is the same percentage as when we asked the same question during the first week in January.
50% said they disapprove of the president's proposals. Just 37% said they approve. The Democratic majority in the House kept forging ahead today.
On this vote to promote stem cell research, the yeas are 253, the nays are 174. The bill is passed.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as the House voted to lift President Bush's restrictions on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. The vote fell short of the two-thirds majority needed to override a veto, but Robin Elliott of the Parkinson's Disease Foundation says this puts added pressure on Mr. Bush.
If the momentum continues through the vote in the Senate, which we expect to be sometime quite soon, then who knows? This could be something that could really be pushing the White House to revise its position.
Many people told that Hurricane Katrina damage wasn't covered by their homeowners' policies took their insurance companies to court. Today, a couple in Gulfport, Mississippi, was awarded more than $2.5 million. Insurance industry attorney Randy Matteloff says it's a major blow.
Homeowners are going to look at these numbers as the new floor for what their cases are worth. And if that's the way homeowners react, then it's going to be a lot more difficult or a lot more expensive for State Farm to reach a settlement or for all carriers to reach a settlement.
The Dow closed at a new record high, up 72 points to 12,514. The NASDAQ up 25. This is CBS News.
Kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Wake up the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh IE tuna is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Why settle for another pre-made combo meal when right now you can get a Subway Fresh Value Meal at a great price? A delicious sub with chips and a drink. The Subway Fresh Value Meal. What a deal. Subway restaurants, where freshness meets value. Subway. Eat fresh.
Offer good on regular 6-inch sub bag of chips and 21-ounce drinks. Subway's registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
Before President Bush flew to Fort Benning, Georgia today, he bestowed a rare military honor. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has the story from the White House.
At a moving ceremony in the East Room, President Bush made a posthumous presentation of the nation's highest award for valor to Marine Corporal Jason Dunham. The 22-year-old lost his life 2 years ago in Iraq during hand-to-hand combat with an insurgent who let loose a hand grenade.
Corporal Dunham did not hesitate. He jumped on the grenade, using his helmet and body to absorb the blast.
Dunham is credited with saving the lives of at least two other Marines. It's only the second time a Medal of Honor has been bestowed for an act of military gallantry in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Encouraging news about Senator Tim Johnson, who had surgery for bleeding in his brain last month. The South Dakota Democrat has been moved out of intensive care, and his surgeon says an MRI shows the speech centers in Johnson's brain were not damaged. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
More buzz and caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applies to you.
After 5 o'clock, welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, and it's a vibrant and compelling conversation that we have weekdays, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here on AM 1320 from 3 to 7. And what we're talking about right now, we've been talking about the mop-up from Dickey's speech last night. But Charlie Rangel, and if you were listening yesterday, I saw the crawl at MSNBC because we have a lot of media coming in here so that we can be as up to the moment as possible. And what the crawl said was that Charlie Rangel was going to reinstitute legislation, was going to introduce legislation to reinstitute the draft. And we couldn't find it anywhere. And then we found some information, but actually it was a couple of months old and I went with it. And then I had to say, look, oops. We try to be right on, bring it to you fast and accurately. And it looks like the fast part was satisfied, but not necessarily the accurate part. And we really couldn't find anything. And then I got an advisory today from CBS News saying that there would indeed be a press conference on this very issue in Charlie Rangel's office. He was going to be holding a press conference on introducing a new bill to reinstitute the military draft. And we still couldn't find anything for the longest time, and now suddenly we have it. And so here it is. The legislation would require national service for all U.S. residents, including mandatory military service for some during wartime. He says, I have reintroduced my bill to reinstate the draft, not because I support the war in Iraq or the president's plan to escalate the conflict. The reason is my belief that if Americans are to be placed in harm's way, all of us, from every income group and position in society, must share the burden of war. And I say, hear, hear, and no exceptions. The only exceptions is if you are a conscientious objector or if for health reasons. Those are the only two exceptions. So if you're rich, if you're influential, if you're powerful, no champagne brigade of the National Guard, I hope, but I suppose there'll always be some loophole. We have one line available, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Sam and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Enid. I hate to say this, but you're totally wrong. If the only reason, the only good reason to have the draft begin again is to stop the war, okay? But imagine what it would do to the actual service members. The influx of a ton of people going into the Army that don't want to be there, I mean...
Well, what about the people, let me stop you right there, what about the people who they're being deployed against their will right now? They're second, they're third, there have been as many as 6 tours of duty. They come in and they never get, they're like Roach Motel, they check in, but they don't check out.
Right.
What about that? You think they're happy to be there?
No, of course not.
All right. You've got that. You've got the same situation.
Not, the answer is not the draft. The answer is stopping the war.
The answer is also a shared... Well, wait a minute. It isn't only the draft we're talking about. It's the doing mandatory 2 years of something, even if we're not at war. So you graduate from high school, and you have to do 2 years before you decide what direction you're going to go. I think that's a great idea. I think it makes for a stronger democracy, a better country. The burden is not simply on the people who have no other options and who are impoverished. It's a shared responsibility. We're big to scream for our rights, but we're not stepping up to the plate to exercise our responsibilities, are we?
No, some people are. But the rich will still get out of it. It will not ever level.
All right, what are you doing? What are you doing to step up to the plate?
I've already done my service.
You have?
Yeah. I did 4 years in Fort Bragg.
Okay.
Actually, that's the other question. What have you done?
Well, I didn't do any time in Fort Bragg. I probably haven't done enough, Sam. But but if I could, but if I had to do a couple of years of service on behalf of the country like everybody else, I think I would have found it interesting because it can throw you into some interesting situations and kind of set the path for where your life is going to go. It could do that.
Of course it can.
And it could also, and if it's a horrible situation, you learn as much by what doesn't work. Sometimes you even learn more as by what does. So I think it's a good thing for kids to, because now everybody is lethargic and whiny and malignant. You see these kids and they're so miserable that they only have $400 tennis shoes and not $500 tennis shoes. Sam, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about this? I think what Rangel has in mind is a shared burden, not just for the poor, but for everybody. Gino and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gino.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Okay, I got 2 points, Enid. My first point is when the guys, when they were calling in talking about the draft for basically service members right now.
Yeah.
It's called the IRR, and actually if a soldier that joins the military. I was in the military for 9 years. I was human resources.
All right, so what you're talking about is when you join, you're really stuck for 8 years, whether they tell you or they don't. You're stuck for 8 years.
It says that in your first initial contract, if a person were to read it, they have a big eight wrote on it, no matter how much a recruiter tells you that you're only signing up for 2 or 3 or 4 years.
You're really signing up for 8.
Yes, it says that on your contract. That's the contract that any soldier, and I would like to say that to anybody out right now, anybody that's out there right now, if you have a child or a niece or a nephew or grandchild that's looking to join the military, the first thing you do is when they come home from the recruiter, as you look at that contract, and a lot of times, all the time, that contract is going to say it is 4 pages, and it will say 8 years, that's what you're signing up for, even though your voluntary time is only 4 years, you'll be stuck in the IRR for 4 years additionally.
And when the recruiter tells you, yeah, but you won't have to go to Iraq, forget that, because the Army or the military can deploy you wherever they want.
Yes, and that's one of my points, Ian, and if you can bear with me for like 1 second. While I was in the military, I did two years recruiting, and also I did 4 years in Germany. And one of the things about living in Germany, you learn, because my wife is German, and one of the things that happened to her is that that her brother had to serve some national service time, so he had to give 2 years to the to Germany, and that's how most of the European countries operate. You have to do 2 years, and then after your 2 years, then you go ahead about your life.
All right, so all these people who are saying, hey, this is cutting into my liberty, this is cutting into my freedom.
Europe does it.
Okay, Gino, there you go.
Have a nice day, man.
Thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620. Yes, but this isn't Europe. This is the U.S. of A. Pat and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I love your question today. This is a great one.
Thank you.
I consider myself an arch-liberal. I mean, but I think you've got a hold of the dark underbelly of liberalism. I think there are a lot of us, me included sometimes, who think that you can get something from the community without giving anything back. And I think you're right on the money. I think 2 years of public service would be a great way for any young person, 18 or 19 years old, to begin their professional life. It might create some access routes into professions.
Yes, it might.
Otherwise be there. I don't see a downside to it anywhere. And that stuff about becoming a fascist state because everybody has to do some public service, what anarchistic CRAP is that? I mean, geez, it makes no sense at all.
I couldn't agree with you more. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. Jeff and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jeff.
Why is this being limited to, I know Charlie Rangel's bill goes up to 40 or 42.
42,
or
I think, yeah. You want everybody to do it?
Yeah, well, I'm just curious. I think that a couple of earlier callers kind of tapped into something I was going to ask you, and that's when are you going to go down and sign up?
When 9/11 happened, I wanted to go and sign up. That's what I wanted to. Why, you want to get me out of here, Jeff?
No, I like your show. And
you want me to do it? You want me to be broadcasting live from Fort Bragg or somewhere?
No, but I'm going to ask you, why not go you yourself, since you think it's such a good idea, and sign up?
I think it's a great idea, and I could do that. I would do that. I really would do that.
I think that it's easy for those of us who are past.
And I could have seen myself, I have to tell you, I could have seen myself doing it when I was at the age where, you know, you were going to typically do it, which is right out of high school or right out of college.
That's not what Charlie's bill says. Charlie Bill said 42.
No, no, no. It is saying from the ages, well, it is, but it's saying, I think, from the ages of 18 to 42. And I think the time you would typically do this is probably around the time you're 18 years old. I think it would have been great. And I don't have an objection to doing it right now. I might just sign up right now.
I think you should, because then you would be showing you're putting your money where your mouth is, because the truth is that all of this sounds really good when we're talking about somebody else. And a lot of us who are opposed
to it. I would do this, Jeff. I would do this. I'm somebody who would do it. And I was really seriously thinking about running away to join the CIA after 9/11.
I would do it is a very interesting way of putting it. I'm asking you, if you really believe this, then go.
What about you? Are you believing it? Are you going to do it?
I was a police officer. I went into a police academy at the age of 19 years old, and I served my community for 6 years as a police officer, and I worked in a jail for 12 and a half years. Is that serving your community?
It is serving your community, but it's also a job, and you were paid for it. So how do you feel about doing the 2 years where it's more in the nature of public service rather than a job?
Are you suggesting that the people who get volunteered to do this or get drafted are not going to get paid either?
I don't know how they're going to do it. I think they ought to make some kind of a deal with them, whether they give them some college or some educational credits or how they support you. I mean, maybe they provide you your room and board and stuff like that.
Now, that's another angle. That's another thing that I want to talk about. Do you really like the idea of shipping off our 18 to 20-year-olds or our 18 to 42-year-olds, shipping them off to all these various centers around the country?
Jeff, tell me what your point is. Tell me, instead of asking me all these questions, moi, your goddess, where are you on this issue?
I'm opposed. I think it's clear I'm opposed. And I'm opposed because
why?
Exactly what some of the other callers have said. We live in a country where people have the right to exercise certain freedoms, and one of those freedoms is to choose a job.
When we had the draft, when the draft was in play and was the law of the land, you were gonna be in that pool to be drafted. So how is this different from that? And that was legal.
Everybody was not drafted, were they?
Well, because they had a lottery, but you could be drafted, and they do it a different way.
It was not.
No, no, Jeff, that's not a good argument. You're not making a good argument, and the case that you're making for it is not a strong case.
That's your opinion, Enid. You're not making a strong case.
Well, no, don't put it onto me. Come on, make the case. Be a man. You're a police officer, former police officer. Be a man and make the case.
You're speculating. This will make people better, a better democracy, because people will be more participative. That's a speculative argument. You don't know that that's
well
true.
I think that the more people are have a stake in giving to this country, we are asking nothing of them right now. We ask nothing of anybody post 9/11 when people really wanted to step up to the plate. We don't ask for any sacrifice. We don't ask for any participation. And I think if we ask for something, you'll find people who will have a greater interest in saving the sinking vessel.
Enid, is it not true that you also give to society by being a productive member of society, working a job, paying your taxes, and producing goods and services?
No, that's lovely, but it can also be a cover for a lot of selfishness. And what you're saying is you don't want to give except on your terms. If the society demands or asks you to step up to the plate, maybe you'll consider it, maybe you won't, but just doing the minimum, being a good citizen, paying your taxes, you think that's enough. Jeff, I don't think it's enough. I think it's too cheap. It's too chintzy.
According to your terms.
Let's put it out there and see how people respond to it.
Interestingly, that the males are opposed to this for the most part, and it's the women who are in favor.
Well, what do you make of that?
I think it's because males inherently have a remembrance, even if they're not old enough and weren't drafted, of the draft. And
maybe they're more chicken than women. What do you think? Is that a possibility? Is it that they're more of a more cowardly than women?
Yes, maybe if you sign up, we'll know.
Have women become the men, as Gloria Steinem put it, that we were always looking for?
I guess if you sign up, then you'll prove it.
Well, see, you don't have an argument to make, Jeff, so you want to throw it back onto me. You know, nice try, kiddo. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Eddie in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eddie.
Hi. Many people have made my argument before, but my point, as a retired teacher many years ago, I really felt that high school students, when they come out of school, really don't know, have any direction, don't know where they're going. Most of them, they go to college because that's what their parents want them to do. And I've often felt that they've had 12, 13 years of schooling, and they need a sense of paying back to the community.
And a sense of meaning, a lot of meaning, a hands-on experience, and direction is exactly right.
And that was my one point. And then the other point was my husband's relatives in Germany, as someone mentioned earlier, do have 2 years of conscription after high school. And that can be paid off by either military service or community service in the form of being Red Cross people in case of emergency, fire, automobile accidents, things of that nature. And I know when we visited his relatives in Germany, their young son was going off to take his training for a particular program one night. Next night he was called out on duty. And they are not the same severity as going to war.
Okay.
But they are helping their community.
All right, so what you're talking about really direction? People are hungry for it when they are at that age?
Yes.
And we're hungry, and we're hungry for having the help, and I think it's a good hands-on experience. So in every way, you and I agree on this one. I thank you very much. 349-1320. Janester in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Janester.
Hi, Enid. Long time haven't heard from you or haven't talked to you. But anyway, I was going to expand on a point that you made, but as I got to thinking, I think, one, it's great that he introduced that, but there's another thing. Take the age limit off. There are people that vibrant well after 42 that could do something. So put that.
Do you remember when Jimmy Carter's mother, Ms. Lillian, I think was she in her 70s? She joined the Peace Corps?
Exactly. I'm 48, and hey, give me a gun. It's all good. I'm not kidding you because we need all the help we can get. But another point.
Well, the men are against going, but the women are they're taking a number.
Exactly. And then another point is there are so many people that have gone to jail or prison that are actually not eligible to fight when maybe they made a mistake and they've made amends, and they would go and fight to maybe clear their record or do something. So let's leave it open to everybody and see who can.
All right, but I'll play devil's advocate. You want to be serving next to a jailbird?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is there's some people that have made a mistake. Maybe they were with someone and they still got jail time because they were with them, but they actually didn't do a crime. You know what I'm saying? Or if you've made amends. Now, if there's somebody that's a mass murderer or whatever, I wouldn't trust them to go to sleep next to them. No, no, no.
Oh, and you don't want to be Jeffrey Dahmer's roommate, did you?
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, there are some people that...
He says, I want a snack.
Yes, exactly. But there are some people that are not eligible but really could do a good job.
All right, I get the point, Janester. I thank you very much for making it. 349-1320, one line open. Richard in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. Just real quick, all these wimpy guys calling in, but they don't want the draft to come back.
It's a constitutional issue. They don't want to serve.
Right. I spent 20 years in the military. I think you need to check your package, guys. I mean, I could go back today. I'm 49 years old. I would go back tomorrow if I could. So you need to man up, send your kids and children whatever it takes. Maybe you serve 2 years, you get free medical and dental for 2 years. Whatever, once you get out, I don't know what to
do. Or some college or some something.
Exactly. So man up, guys. Quit being a wimp.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate the call. Man up. Oh, we like that. All right. Well, we're manning up around here. It takes us women to man up. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid Goldstein. Slow-moving traffic south on 99, just right there by Fruit Ridge Road. I-5 and a J Street, always slow over there. We do have a vehicle on the right-hand side stopping things down. And it looks like Madison Avenue and Hemlock, there's a two-car crash. Or Marconi Avenue and Watt Avenue, two-car crash, slowing things down as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Eat It Live, doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320. Sacramento's left channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Hey, Jessica, bye.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me is that. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. Talk to her, don't leave her behind. You shut her up or to roll. I know, cause I see her cry. You keep her there, she'll get up and move
on. 529 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We have one line available, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Those are the two numbers. I sort of strung them together. 866-626-1320. The reason we are engaged in this discussion is that I'm glad he's doing it. Now, maybe it's, you know, maybe when the fine print emerges, I won't feel so glad. But at the moment, I love it that Charlie Rangel has introduced or is about to introduce a new bill to reinstate the military draft. And it's more than simply the draft. It would require national service for all U.S. residents. So the service consists of public service, I think. And in a time of war, it might require mandatory military for some. So during wartime, possibility of mandatory military service, and if it's not a wartime situation, national service for all U.S. residents, not just the people who don't have as many choices, and not simply excluding the rich among us. I think we've gotten way too disengaged because none of this impinges on our lives. Iraq didn't impinge on anybody's life. Post 9/11, you know, the advice was go shopping. What are your thoughts about this? The men who are calling in, a lot of men don't like this, and a lot of women do like this. I think that when you're at a crossroads in your life, when you are 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, this could give your life direction. It could give your life meaning. You could be helping. I think a lot of us want to do that, and we don't know quite where to begin sometimes. Andrew in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, first, before I get to my point, something just came up. I don't know if most, a lot of people know, but there's a comet that you can see in the sky tonight, right now. It's on the horizon. If you go outside, if you can see the western horizon where the sun went down, take a look, you'll see that bright star up there. That's Venus. Go down into the right, close to the horizon right now, and you'll see a kind of a longish white smudge, and that's a comet.
Oh, can we see it right now? It's going on? How long will it go on for?
Well, it'll be below the horizon after a couple more days. So if you want to see it, I mean, it's not the same as Comet Halley or Hal Bopp or anything like that. But you can see with your, I mean, I was looking at it right now, just as I thought.
Ooh, okay.
You have to kind of look for it because it's getting into that haze on the horizon. But look for Venus. That's that bright star in the west.
Okay.
Down and to the right, almost on the horizon, you'll see a white smudge, and a white long smudge. That's the comet and its tail.
Okay, all right.
That's just, I wanted to get that out because I haven't heard anything, you know, on the news, but I just happen to know because I'm a big astronomy buff, and I saw it. It's like, oh, God, you've got to share this with people. Anyway.
Could be Dick Cheney with a firecracker attached, but go ahead. So where are you on the draft, Andrew?
Well, first off, let me say that I've got 19 years in the military. I'm going to retire next year, okay? So I see the arguments that people are making about, you know, 2 years, you know, for people that don't want to be there. I understand the basic point behind Charlie Rangel's. I do fully 110% support some form of national service. If you don't want to do 2 years military, do 2 years of AmeriCorps or Peace Corps or something. The infrastructure in this country is going to hell in a handbasket. Not just
We don't have any sense of obligation to our fellow men and the way people drive and the way they do business with each other and the way they want to wall themselves off in gated communities, I think speaks to that. And the level of greed, which is now nobody is embarrassed about being greedy. It used to be people were greedy, but they never said that they were greedy. Now they don't mind saying it.
Yeah, and what this would do is it would do several things. First off, it would repair, you know, it would, you know, ease on the military burden, and it would also do things like, you know, rebuild after Katrina, rebuild the highways, rebuild the water systems, all that, the infrastructure, basic infrastructure in this country that we need. But it would also, it would do something that mail caller, you had a couple mail callers ago, the one that was saying, you know, oh, you know, you're this, you're that, and all that. And I don't mean to get personal, but I'm going based strictly on what he said and the way he came across. He is what is part of the problem here. It's more of too much of a me attitude as opposed to us. Now, I'm not saying that it should be some sort of, you know, wacko communist kumbaya type thing, but if you get your couple of years, be it military or public service, you've got a stake in this now. And it's one of those things, it's like the difference between buying something and building something. Okay, maybe the building, when you build something, it's maybe not as, you know, slick and pretty as, you know, what you could have gone down at the Home Depot and bought, but you treasure it more because it was your sweat, your blood, your tears that went into putting that together. You now have a tangible stake in the outcome, and service would do that.
I agree with you. You've got some skin in the game. So, Andrew, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. And that's exactly what we don't have. We don't have the sense of community that we once had in this country, in part because it takes two salaries to do what one used. Two people are exhausted when they get home. You got a lot of single parent families. And so one of the first things that goes by the boards is community life. We don't have it to the same extent that we once did. We don't feel the same responsibility. responsibility. We are so used to things going swimmingly in this country that we're kind of on cruise control. So now you got to roll up your sleeves, you got to get a little bit dirty, and you got to continue to make it happen, or we're down the tubes. And we might well be en route down the tubes. Mike in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Enid? Thanks
doing well.
For taking my call here. I was just astonished. I couldn't wait to hear the topic of the conversation. But I heard the tail end when you told someone to be a man. And I said, oh, I got to weigh in on this conversation. But good for you on that case.
Well, thank you.
But the significance of this war, it's really just it's the haves and the have-nots. That's the bottom line. You know, the second largest contingent that's in the Iraq war right now is not England, it's not Britain, and of course we have the largest contingent, but you know what the second largest is?
What?
Private corporation armies are the second largest. So that just tells you.
What do you mean armies? There, the civilian contractors are about 100,000, and we have about 133,000 military. So are you saying we have a private army in there as well? What do you mean?
That's what I call it.
But they're civilian. But they're civilian contractors.
Right. They're not beholden to anything. Now, if we have a national day of service where everybody's sacrificed, and not just the working middle class and the poor, but you get the rich.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. Let's say you get a rich kid who has got an attitude, and he doesn't want to bother with this, but he's forced into it. What have you got there on your hands?
Well, they're going to try to be defiant, of course, and they'll try to cheese their way out, just like all those cabinet members of Bush, trying to find some way to whittle out of it. It's like Doolittle, and then you see what we have. That's going to create a bigger quagmire. But at least you got something on the table to where if we're going to sacrifice or if we're going to go to war, everybody sacrifices and everyone's going to contribute.
I agree. I think it can only benefit our society. I think it can only be a benefit. And even if this doesn't go anywhere, I think that suddenly people start to wake up and say, wait a minute, this could apply to me, it could apply to my kids, it could apply to my family, my loved ones, my brother, my sister. And I think then maybe we start to have a conversation here. Mike, I thank you very much. Now, maybe you can't legislate a conversation. There is that as well. I'm Enid Goldstein. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, Charlie Rangel. God bless him. Wants to reinstitute the military draft. He is introducing a new bill to do just that, and the Democrats try to put the kibosh on it. The Republicans aren't too happy about it either. But then, you know what? This is a whole new future for Jenna and Barbara Bush. Think about that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, it has been confirmed the comet is in the sky. I went and took a look, and what a beautiful night it is, by the way. Lows tonight, 37. Highs coming up. We're going to see tomorrow about 49, a little chilly. Gloves weather, but nice and sunny coming up Saturday. I can hardly wait. Northbound Cap City Freeway at Howe Avenue. Looks like we got a vehicle on fire and slowing things down. Emergency vehicles are over there taking care of that. And hit and run at Madison Avenue at Auburn Boulevard and Magnolia Road at Lakeshore. That three-car crash is stopping things down on into Sacramento. Fulton Avenue, Marconi Avenue as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm News 10's Christina.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's Act
AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Tara. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sacramento's left channel.
Thursday edition of Enid Live, and what we were talking about, we were on it yesterday. In fact, we were ahead of the curve and we didn't know it. We thought we were, and then we didn't think we were. And it turns out we were. Aren't we lucky? Oh, this is why you want to listen to Enid Live on AM 1320, because we're ahead of the curve and we don't know it half the time. It wasn't anywhere. You really couldn't. We have had to dig to find this information for you today. But Charlie Rangel has, in fact, introduced a new bill to reinstate the military draft. And the legislation would require national service for all U.S. residents, including mandatory military service for some during wartime. And some of the highlights, the age range would be from 18 to 42. And would I want to do this? Yes. Yes, I would, actually. I think that this would, if I had had this opportunity when I graduated from high school or graduated from college, I would have seen this as really intriguing, because there was a part of me that even thought about going into the military. I was so at sea. I was so at sixes and sevens. I so didn't know what direction I wanted to go in. Now, I would not have been a very good military recruit, I think, but there was something in me looking for some direction and thinking that maybe the military could have provided it. I mean, I did think about that. I thought about a lot of different things, actually. So I think this is a great, where you are able to contribute. You really feel better about yourself. There's more meaning. You have contributed to the greater good. The whole becomes larger and greater than the sum of the parts. We have one line open. Don and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Don.
Hey, yeah. Enid, love you.
Thank you.
You know, the only reason this whole thing is being brought up is because of the Bush daughters.
No. It is not because of the Bush daughters. It is because the people who didn't have a lot of choices are the ones that are carrying the brunt for everybody else. Children of the rich and powerful are not serving in Iraq right now, in general.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, because, see, the Bush daughters are why we're in Iraq to begin with. Do you remember one of the first debates that Georgie had about the first presidential election? He stood there and said, "I've been to war, and I've raised twins. I'd rather go to war."
Did he say that? You're just making that up, Don.
I am not.
But he should. If he didn't say that, he should have said that.
He did.
And he didn't go to war. He did. If he went to war, it was like Reagan going to war. Reagan thought he went to war because he saw a movie about war once.
He's just bragging about learning to fly jets. You know, everybody wanted to learn to fly jets. I wanted to learn to fly jets. Oh, well, I was 4F. Didn't learn to fly jets. Too bad for me.
Too bad for you. I thank you for the call, Don. 349-1320. We have a line open. Tom and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Enid. A couple things. I served, and I would certainly support a draft for a number of reasons. The reasons you're bringing up as far as the experience, the chance for direction. I hated my time in the military, but it taught me what I didn't want to do and what I did want to do.
Why did you hate your time in the military? Because it's like jail. That your time's not your own, and they tell you when you got to do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. And there was inconsistency, and there were things that were frustrating. I look back on it, and I grew from it. But I was glad to get out. And I remember sitting there when we went to the first Iraq War, and I was waiting in an airport, thinking several times, "It's time to go. It's time to go." And fortunately, at that point, I didn't have to go. But I think beyond that, one of the main points, again, is as you were saying, there's no real sense of sacrifice. Everybody's sitting there listening about these deaths, and they're saying, "Well, these people volunteered." I went in because I didn't have much of a choice or direction or any kind of financial prospects to get into college or to further myself, and I saw the military as a way of doing that, and that's how the recruiter presented.
And what could you say that you took out from the military? I assume that they instilled in you a sense of discipline, maybe more than what you had when you came into the military?
Certainly. I mean, it's kind of the side of me. You know, I was kind of tough, and I knew what the heck I was doing, and you run into a couple of drill sergeants, and
Tom, you're breaking up, so you're gonna have to call us back. I can't really understand what you're saying. I thank you. No, it's worse. Thanks for the call. 349-1320. Call us when you have a better connection. Don and Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
The thing is, if you would have went in the military, we may not have had you here to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, and you might have been better off too.
Well, maybe.
Well,
you know,
but thank you, Don.
The thing about this is that you know. One thing about the draft is, you know, forcing someone to go into the military. I mean, if you look at today's prisons and the people that are in them, I mean, giving them the opportunity, I mean, there are people in there for drugs and lesser crimes besides murder and things like that, offering that as a choice as a military, as in, you know, instead of going to prison, I think is a good idea.
Well, wait, though. I'll play devil's advocate.
Uh-huh.
If you are in prison, let's say you mean somebody who's nonviolent.
Yeah. No,
all right.
No,
so,
murderer.
Do you want somebody who's a crackhead serving next to you in the military?
Well,
somebody who really couldn't, you know.
Well, how many people in America have some type of dependency problem? You know, I mean, just because a person does drugs doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but also you really want people who are there with you, not among the nearly comatose.
Well, I understand that, but all I'm saying is that, you know, also is that I have a friend who just got back from Iraq. Okay, and the thing is he was kind of upset because he was saying that the soldiers aren't getting what they need, you know, as in equipment. They're not getting body armor that they need. He had to purchase his own body armor. I mean, it's okay to say, hey, go into the war and fight or join the military and do your duty. The question is, are we as American citizens or the military themselves providing these kids with what they need to fight these wars? You know, I mean,
no, we're not providing them with what they need. And now we want to stiff them on benefits when they come back maimed and injured. We want to stiff them on their health benefits.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, what kind of an administrator, what kind of a conscience do these people have? They want to stiff everybody else, and they want to make the biggest tax cuts they can to their rich friends. That's what you have here as a mentality.
I mean,
and Rangel is so upset about it, at this unshared burden that we are all... this national nightmare that we are living through, this kind of decline in a very swift and steep decline that has overtaken this country just in 6 years or so of this administration. It's been fast, and it's furious, and we're heading toward the bottom at warp speed is what I think.
You know, I see these kids that have come back, you know, who've lost a lot of limbs and a lot of things, you know, been really hurt, you know, and when they come back, you know, we really don't do a lot for them.
No, it's kind of pathetic.
You know, it really kind of saddens me, actually, when I see them and what they sacrifice, and when they come back, you know, the lives that they're going to live from now on, you know, sacrificing for our country and for us.
I mean, we can't even imagine it. And because some of those who have had, and Don, I thank you for the call, some of those who have had body armor and so forth are sustaining injuries that would have killed them in previous wars. So they're come back with terrible head trauma, terrible, terrible, terrible injuries. And we want to cut the funding for all of that stuff. 349-1320. I mean, how good are we? Steve Klein from SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Yes, the Heritage Foundation did a study on the personnel of the U.S. military, and what Rangel is saying is not true. Rangel is saying that our military is like poor people, and a lot of them are like black people, and actually they did a study, and the U.S. military is not like that. Most of the U.S. military is very well educated. They range in different ages, and actually...
The Heritage Foundation is a right-wing think tank, so I'm not so sure I take on face value what they are saying, and you're going to have to send me the documentation in any event. I would trust Rangel's version of it. But what is your larger point, Steve?
Well, Rangel's a racist, and he's...
Wait. And Rangel's a racist, why?
Well, he's in cahoots with Jesse Jackson and Farrakhan.
So wait. So he is a racist. So you're quoting me a suspect information. You're calling him a racist. You know what, Steve? Arm yourself with the facts. If this is what you're going to use to make a case, I think it's not going to be much of a case. 349-1320-866-26-1320. Let's do Tom and Sack, and then we'll take a break and find out what's happening on the freeways. Hi, Tom. You're live with Enid.
Hey, sorry, I had a bad connection there. I think you had to hang up.
Okay.
My final point was I think it would be the great equalizer to have a draft.
That's Rangel's point. That's exactly what he wants to do. And I think, and in that, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, but I hope he accomplishes that. Tom, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for calling back. 349-1320-866-2613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. So beautiful weather going on, I think. And as far as the roadways go, southbound 99 is nice and slow right there by Fruit Ridge Road. It looks like we have a vehicle right-hand side slowing things down. Northbound 99 just south of Broadway and northbound Cap City Freeway, just north of Bell Street. San Juan Avenue at Falcon Road, if you're going that way, you might want to slow down right when you get to that intersection a little slow due to a two-car crash. Marconi Avenue at Watt Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I'm just going to say, right now, what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Earn your MS.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe, or kill the people who live on top of it. extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world.
This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
At Cash Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. 3 to 7, lines are full. They'll open up. We're talking about whether or not you agree with Charlie Rangel's new bill to reinstitute the draft or public service when there isn't a war going on. Alan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alan.
Hey, just to let you know, these are statistics. Is that the here's the representation based upon the actual current population. 2% of Hispanics are above their actual representation in the population. Asians are at zero. In other words, they're even. Whites are 13% above their representation in the population.
Where are you getting the statistics?
These are from the center of the same statistics that are done when we do census reporting.
Okay.
Okay, and blacks are 2% under. They're the only race that is underrepresented in the services.
Okay.
And so for Charlie Rangel to possibly come out and say that only poor people are in there.
No, he's not saying that exactly, but you're talking about race. You're not talking about income level.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The new Iraq strategy gets bad reviews on Capitol Hill.
This speech given last night by this president represents the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam.
And that's a Republican talking, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates came under withering criticism when they tried to sell the plan today. This is Democratic Senator Bill Nelson of Florida.
I have not been told the truth over and over again by administration witnesses. And the American people have not been told the truth.
Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell supports the plan and told his colleagues to give it a chance.
This exercise is going to be judged by the result. It will either work or it won't. I'm optimistic that it will. It must work.
Making it work will impose more burdens on the National Guard. Today, the Pentagon did away with a rule that limited Guard members to 2 years of active duty. It's open-ended now. House Democrats continue their big push today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the House voted 253 to 174 to expand stem cell research.
Support for stem cell research increased in the Democratic Congress, but the House vote still fell short of what would be needed to override a presidential veto. And President Bush, who vetoed an identical bill last year, makes clear he will do so again to continue the ban on federal funding for new embryonic stem cell research. Senate backers say they expect to have a veto-proof margin there, which should increase pressure on President Bush on an issue polls show has very strong public support.
The president also promises to veto a bill on the agenda tomorrow. It would require Medicare to negotiate with drug companies for lower prices. A statement from Barry Bonds this evening. The San Francisco Giants slugger does not deny a New York Daily News report that he tested positive for methamphetamine last season. But Bonds denies getting any drugs from teammate Mark Sweeney, saying Sweeney has nothing to do with this matter. According to the news, when Bonds was told of the test result, he claimed he'd taken meth from Sweeney's locker. Property insurers refused to pay many claims after Hurricane Katrina, telling homeowners they were covered for wind damage but not for flooding. Today, a couple in Gulfport, Mississippi, won a big court victory against State Farm.
First, a judge ordered State Farm to pay the couple's denied damage claim of more than $223,000. Then a jury added $2.5 million more in punitive damages. State Farm's Phil Supple.
We are surprised and disappointed by both the judge's ruling and the coverage issues and the amount awarded by the jury for punitive damages.
Supple says the company will likely appeal. All this is happening as State Farm negotiates with clients in the state of Mississippi to settle hundreds of lawsuits and thousands of other disputed claims. Peter King, CBS News.
Oil prices sharply lower again today. The oil closed below $52 a barrel. The Dow jumped up 72 points. This is CBS News.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
To hear soccer star David Beckham tell it, it's not the reported $250 million that's luring him to the United States.
I've played now for two of the biggest clubs in the world. I've played at the highest level for 15 years. And now I think that I need another challenge.
He'll play for the Los Angeles Galaxy, making a bid to raise soccer's profile in this country.
David Beckham may be the world's most famous soccer player, but here in his soon-to-be home Los Angeles, a lot of people have no idea who he is.
You ever hear of David Beckham?
No.
You've heard of the Spice Girls?
Spice Girls.
Singing group.
Yes.
He's married to one of the Spice Girls.
Is that right?
David Beckham.
No, I don't know him.
Those who do know who Beckham is were a bit surprised by the news.
That's impossible.
Why?
Because he's too famous to play for the Galaxy.
And at least one fan who's never seen the Galaxy play now plans to go to a game.
Yeah, I'll see David Beckham, yeah.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
And I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
At the truth, AM 1320.
Six minutes after 6 o'clock. Why can't we seem to keep it together? The big news is, and we were on it yesterday, although we thought we were on it, and then we thought we were not correct, and it turns out we really were correct, and we were ahead of everybody else on this. But Congressman Charlie Rangel, highly decorated in the Korean War, has introduced a new bill to reinstate the military draft. Now, what he's trying to do here, and here's how it would work. National service for all U.S. residents, including mandatory military service for some during wartime. So if we're not in wartime, everybody, if you're between the ages of 18 and 42, everybody then signs up for 2 years. You just have to do it. And you maybe be shipped to hospitals or wherever your help is needed. It might work for you, it might not work for you, but I think it's at a time in your life, particularly when it happens in the 18, 20-year-old range, that sort of age, where it can give you direction, it can give you meaning, it might set you on a career path that will maybe tell you what you don't want to do because it was an awful experience, it might tell you what you do. But what he is concerned about is that this is a burden, going to Iraq and in the wake of a 21,000 troop surge, nobody was in favor of. Congress is not in favor of it. Iraq doesn't want the 21,000, as it turns out. New York Times is reporting that today. The military is not in favor of it, both the people who are serving and the generals. The American public, 70% of us are not in favor of it, according to one poll today. Everybody thinks that Bush's speech bombed. He is the only one who's in favor of it. So he is sending everybody in, and that's the end of that. And Rangel is saying this is not a burden that has been shared equally. He says the rest of us have not been called upon to make any sacrifice at all. It is the first time in an American war in which the populace has not even been asked to bear the burden of the war's cost. Fighting this war with borrowed money, we are leaving our children and their children to pick up the check that as of now is roughly $500 billion and counting. So he has reintroduced a bill to reinstate the draft, not because he says I support the war in Iraq or the president's plan to escalate the conflict. The reason is my belief that if Americans are to be placed in harm's way, all of us, from every income group and position in society, must share the burdens of war. He said this has not been the case so far. The overwhelming majority of our troops fighting in Iraq are young men and women who have chosen to enlist because military service is an economic opportunity. They are motivated by enlistment bonuses of up to $40,000 and additional thousands in scholarships to attend college. They are from urban and rural communities where there is high unemployment and few opportunities to pursue the American dream. So one of the things that has emerged from this discussion is that several of you have called in to say that no matter what the recruiter tells you about how you're going to be in for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, actually when you sign up, you're in for 8. So you can do a couple of years and they can come after you. They can tell you, you know, you're back in civilian life. We need you to fulfill the full 8 years. And the question is, where are they going to get the $21,000 for this escalation that they're trying to implement? 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Some of you are calling in to say, hey, this is anti-American. To require us to do this is anti-constitutional. It infringes on our rights. We are big to scream for our rights and rather slow to step up to the plate to exercise our responsibilities, I think. And those of you who have kids who would be of draft age, you would not want this news. This is not good news. But I think it's the kind of news that actually inspires a national dialogue. So maybe we don't just willy-nilly go to war, hey, because it's something we can do and it's an all-volunteer army. We'll be in and out of there in 15 minutes. Mission accomplished. And yada, yada, yada. 349-1320. We have one line open. 866-626-1320. Brenda in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Ian. I just wanted to let you know that I'm for the draft. And all of my children are of draft age. I'm 2 years over what, you know, I'm hearing the 42 age limit, but I would go. Why? Because we owe it to our country. Our fellow servicemen are over there and women. My father, his grandfather, and my great grandfather had all been in wars. And I also, on the flip side of this, I work with many men and women who have traumatic brain injury. And just today during one of my meetings, they were stating that we have got to prepare ourselves for the influx of veterans who are coming back from the war with these brain injuries because the VA hospitals are going to be inundated. And here in
are you in a private hospital, Brenda?
No, I'm in the private nonprofit sector.
Okay.
I work for a caregiving institution and also for what we call the Head Trauma Support Project here in Sacramento, and we are preparing ourselves to get ready for this.
So we feel here in Sacramento that we will be inundated. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, we know we will be, and we're not going to be ready for it because we have one of the major hospitals here at UCD that is the biggest trauma hospital next to San Francisco in Northern California.
What is UCD? Is it a level one trauma facility?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's located, is this the one over on Stockton?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have any sense of the numbers that you're expecting to roll in?
Oh, we have no idea because once the VA hospitals get inundated, our local hospitals will be next.
So what do they do? When the VA hospitals are inundated, what do? They ship people out, the overflow, the overage to hospitals like UCD?
Yes.
Okay.
More than likely. And then they end up in our communities, and the budget that just got, well, they're talking about here in California, there's not going to be enough money to support all this because the social services budget always gets cut first. And that's one of my main concerns is we're going to get all
well,
these
the administration has actually tried to and I think was successful in cutting funding for head trauma for exactly the kind of thing you're describing for head trauma injury.
Exactly.
And well, let me ask you, Brenda, can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 44.
All right. If you were, I mean, could you see yourself have signed, you're too old for the plan that Rangel has in mind, but could you see yourself have signing up at the age of 18, 19, 20, in your 20s to do 2 years of service and to the country in some way? It may not have been military service.
I wanted to. I always wanted to, but because I've always had a heart problem and high blood pressure issues, I was never able to do that. But I feel I've given to my country in different ways, having gone into social work and working in areas of high need and high urgency.
Well, you have, but it has been a paid job, and it's not the same.
Not always. A lot of it was on volunteer basis as well.
Okay.
And I really have tried giving back to my community in that way, and I've taught my children to do the same thing. And, you know, my heart goes out to everybody that's really sitting on the fence of, you know, they don't want their children to do it. to go into a draft, but what choice do we really have?
I think that, legislation can't get you to do, cannot get you to, we cannot legislate morality, for example. We couldn't legislate you to keep from drinking with prohibition. And maybe this will fall just as flat, but there certainly would be a more vibrant dialogue in the community if everybody was affected, not just the people in the volunteer army. We can just shove this aside. You don't have to watch it on TV, on the news, which in any event is devoting less time to it because it's ugly, because it's grisly, because it's depressing, and because it doesn't generate ratings. And so we're going to stick a couple of decals on the car. We're going to stick flags onto both sides of the car, and we're going to say we support the troops, and we're going to go shopping.
Yeah, and that's
what Rangel is responding to, I think.
Yeah, and until it really hits you under the belt and it's your children, they don't speak up. And here I'm saying, I have four kids that are of this age, and if they have to go, they have to go. I don't want them to. I love my children dearly. But you know what? This is part of being responsible for not just yourself, but for your children's future.
Brenda, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jerry in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I want to kind of differ with that other caller. I think a better service to your country is standing up and voicing your opinion. I think getting out there and being opposed to the war. I think taking a look and voting and not allowing somebody like Bush to get back in to put us in that war is a better service.
Wait. Voting is the absolute minimum. That is the absolute minimum. So you're telling me that that's enough to do, just voting?
No. I'm saying getting out and being politically active.
Well, that's a good thing.
Voting, some people say it's a privilege. I think it's a responsibility of every American in there. I went through the Vietnam War era. I was not drafted. I was fortunate. My number wasn't drawn. I did not want to go, and I was politically active in that era. I think the fact that the people don't, we're fighting the wrong war. We should have been in Afghanistan. We should have never been.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. But if more people, if more of our kids and our brothers and our sisters and our aunts and our uncles and everybody else were involved in it, do you think we would have been more vocal? You think the president would have felt like he had the blank check that he had?
I think he would have thought twice about it. But what scares me, and what's even sadder, is that Pelosi hasn't even come out and said, no, we're not sending more troops. We're not allowing you to do that.
Well, I don't think there's any way right now. I think they feel like there's nothing they can do, although there is some legislation pending in terms of restricting the funding, but it's a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
What Pelosi and what Reid have said is they're not going to cut the funding, but there's a huge sentiment that against sending 21,000 more people to war, and the Iraqis don't want us. That has been underreported until today. I hadn't heard anything about that.
I know. The other thing that I did call about, and I did want to mention, and it's sad too, is that we get so preconditioned by big business and politics in general. And that is, I look at oil today, $52 a barrel, down a third from what it was in July. Distilleries of gas are up, and the refineries are at 91%. Inventories are down because they don't need to buy it. But is gas down a third? No. I'm still paying $3, $2.90, $2.99, $2.89 for diesel. Highest ever paid was $3.19. I'd love to see the Democrats take an agenda where they're going to go after this. Not only go after the president for his lying to the American people and getting us into...
All right, we're going to leave it there. But I get your point, Jerry, and you're beginning to break up. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Dimitri in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dimitri.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I just want to follow up on some of the comments. I mean, I agree that there are issues of basic fairness, and there are, I think, significant issues of getting a dialogue out there, which is, I think, one of the reasons why most conservatives don't want to draft. But I can understand.
Why do you think conservatives don't want to draft? They don't want to discuss? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, because they can, at least I think this current administration doesn't want to invest the American people in the war because you don't have the sort of public outcry that you had, for instance, in Vietnam when everyone's children were, or at least a broader spectrum of society was sharing the injuries, the deaths, and so forth. And I think that You know, when you disinvest people emotionally from something, you know, people tend to... Well,
I think this war is a metaphor for the disinvestment emotionally that you're talking about, because I think we are we are really on cruise control in this country. We think if you were born at a certain time, it's always been good. You assume it's always going to be good. You have only good memories. You know, grandparents who lived through the Depression and relatives and people you read about who lived through World War II have different memories. But if you are of a certain age, you have only good memories, and you're not worried about it because, you know, somehow it sorts itself out. Somehow I don't have to get involved, but it's all
exactly.
good.
Someone
it's
else
all good.
The brunt, but I do think, you know, a draft has fundamental fairness, and I do think it allows for the opportunity to have a broader discussion about some of these things and maybe to think about it in a little bit.
Well, let me tell you, if you are of age, if you are of draft age, and you're in you're going to read the newspaper, you're going to find out what's going on, and you're going to be vocal, and you will protest if you think that this is an unfair, unjust war. That's what I think is inevitable there, Dimitri. I thank you for the call.
I agree. My only caveat would be you kind of touched on it. My last point would be, you know, to what extent can you have a decent dialogue in the press? Because that's really where it's going to happen.
You can have a very vibrant dialogue, and let me tell you, it can move the needle, is what I think. 349-1320. You just remember this: when you have a commander in chief, you know, a dope like the one we have got right now, incompetent, incognizant, really a nice veneer, but fundamentally there's a kind of evil there. There's a vacant, you know, vacant sign in the window. When you have that going on and you have one person, we are still, even though he is the commander-in-chief, even though he can sway 21,000 lives are now on the line additionally to fight this war that we have long since lost, that is a failure, and a failure due to this administration and to this man and to the people he has picked and to the policies that he has espoused. A complete and utter failure. These people are corrupt at their core. I don't care how nicely and nice guy-ish they seem. There is an ineptness and an incompetence, an incognizance, and which all adds up to a kind of fundamental corruptness. Still, power resides in the people. We, the people, if we could get it together and make ourselves heard, I think that we have tremendous power. All the lines are filled. I'll give the numbers when the lines open up. Susan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Enid. Actually, I have two things. One, I have a 19-year-old son and I have a 21-year-old daughter. So are they going to draft girls also?
I think it's boys and girls who are both going to be doing service, public service, yeah. And maybe girls will be drafted too.
And I don't think they, you know, years and years ago it used to be where they won't take your only son. Well, I think they will now. And my other point is, if they're going to draft, or they're going to try and get 20,000 more troops over there, how many of those troops are actually going to be children of the people in office that are for this war and that are pushing
for this
war?
Well, that's exactly what Rangel wants to have happen, that it's not just the volunteers, but it's people, the kids of the rich and powerful. It isn't just kids who I'd like to see them go. Let them go.
That'll never happen.
So how do you feel about the possibility that you have a son and a daughter?
Oh yeah, I'm scared to death.
Yeah, but it would make you really pay attention, and make them pay attention too, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, I've been in debates with my stepfather, and you know, over and over again with that.
Send your stepfather in, Susan.
He served, and he was going on about the draft this and that. He's a total Bush fan, and he and I get in big huge arguments about it. And I said, would you want your son to go? His son is like 28.
How old is your stepfather?
He is 57.
They're still taking 57, 58-year-olds. So tell him
he didn't answer me. His answer to me is, he goes, well, I went. And I said, would you send your son? He goes, well, I went.
Yeah.
You want to send my son, but you wouldn't send your son.
Yeah, you
send
his son. We're going to leave it there, Susan. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320 opens up a line, 866-26-1320. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some flurries going on, I suppose, tonight. We're going to see a little showers coming our way. Saturday, sunny and, well, kind of warm. 51, I think, is going to be the high. Hazel Avenue at Madison Avenue, we have a two-car crash. Southbound 99 just north of 12th Avenue and on Fruit Ridge Road, Elk Grove Boulevard. Two-car crashes in the pedestrian right there on 12th Avenue, right on the highway. And it's also southbound 99, just south and westbound 47th. A two-car crash there as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Truth, according to Enid, will set you free.
Really?
Call her now at
349-1320.
Hello, hi, how are you?
Hurry in to match.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. And what we're talking about here is Charlie Rangel, who is going to reinstate the draft. But it isn't only the draft. It is also 2 years of national service for everybody, all U.S. residents, girls, boys, transgender, bisexual. Everybody, the whole community, everybody comes in. So you know what? The whole business about whether you're gay or whether you're not gay, don't ask, don't tell.
Don't tell us. Everybody goes. That's it. And I think there's a lot of merit to it, even if this goes nowhere. And the Democrats didn't want it, and the Republicans certainly don't want it. And for a while, the Democrats really put the kibosh on Rangel. They tried to strangle Rangel on this, and he's back up again because now he's chairman of the Powerful Ways and Means Committee in the House. God bless him. He thinks this should be a shared responsibility, that if everybody had some skin in the game, maybe we would make some wiser decisions. Because, you know, you say, oh, well, you know, it's an all-volunteer army. They're going to go. They don't care about going. Dickie thinks it's a good idea to have this war. You know, not my business. I'm going shopping. I'll have a massage. Let me get my little fingernails and toenails done. Jim and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. I want to say that I agree with Ringo. I like the idea of getting everyone involved with the you know, with the draft and serving for 2 years. And although I agree with the idea, I am in that group where everything is good. I'm in that age group. And I'm also in that demographic in where, which is highly recruited. And I was highly recruited in high school and ultimately decided not to join because I figured I can do better without the military. And I don't regret that decision. I do regret not joining the Peace Corps. But I think most importantly, the reason I wouldn't vote for Ringo's proposition is just because I like the idea of having a choice as an individual, as an American.
But what do you think it does when everybody's in the same boat? Everybody's got to do a couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, and you get to, and maybe you get some choices as to what you do. You know, maybe they give you four or five choices, and you check off the box as to what you want to do your 2 years.
You know what? Then that works. But you know what? It would really suck to check off a box that I have to check, and then I end up in Iraq.
Well, you know what? If there's a war, and this is, I think, makes everybody think twice about the validity of a war.
Yeah.
When it's you who might have to go, when it's your beloved, your child, your parent, your somebody who has to go, then I think there's more of a dialogue. Then there has to be more of a consensus. And right now, there wasn't much of a consensus.
I tell you what, if everyone was on the possibility of going to war, it would be a national riot, national protest right now.
That's right. Everybody would be in the streets. There would be a lot of traffic to Canada, or people would say, not going. Hell no, I won't go.
Yeah.
That is what they said in Vietnam. Hell no, I won't go.
Yeah. So I think it's a great idea. Personally, I wouldn't.
It's a great idea for somebody. Right. Let's you and him fight, and I'll hold your coat. It's a great idea for somebody else. All right, Jim, I thank you for the call. If you are against the draft idea, if you're against Charlie Rangel's proposition, let me hear from you. But the arguments I've had so far sound kind of selfish to me. Rob and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rob.
Hey, look, I don't believe in the draft right now. I mean, I want to ask you a question. Is it that we don't have enough soldiers already or people enlisting? And so
yeah, we don't have enough, and it's falling disproportionately on our poorer citizens.
And the
rich and the powerful who have decided that this is such a perky war, they're not sending their kids in.
How do we know those numbers are accurate, though, that we don't have enough? Because I remember them saying the generals or whoever it was in the news just last week.
Well, let's assume for purposes of, well, apparently we only have 9,000 extra. But let's assume for purposes of discussion we don't have enough.
Uh-huh.
Or even for purposes of discussion that we do.
Uh-huh.
What Charlie Rangel is saying is that the deaths, the maiming, and so on are falling disproportionately on the lower economic stratum that doesn't have as many choices as the children of the rich and powerful who are not serving. And he believes that there should be more shared responsibility, and that if there were, people would be less eager to pull the trigger and less eager to go to war.
I do believe there should be. I believe in that. I believe that, you know, if people have to serve, everyone should serve, no matter what your demographic or no matter what the income. Absolutely. The only problem I'm worried about is, like the lady that was just on the line who said her father was a big Bush fan.
Her stepfather.
I don't think people have done enough research about this establishment, you know, going back to George Herbert Walker Bush and the Remington family and the DuPonts when they tried to assassinate FDR and overthrow our government and establish a Nazi regime. They're part of the Union Bank Corporation, which funded the Nazi war machine. And if you take a look at Bush's strategy and what he's been doing...
Brown brother Harriman and the father Prescott was involved. And
Prescott,
there was,
yeah, that was Prescott, that's right.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I don't. Some of your information is not exactly right, but
yeah,
some of
but
it is.
But Rob,
let me ask you, would you sign up?
Yeah. You
okay.
Better believe it.
I think it would be, actually, I think it would be instructive, and I think it makes us better people if we have to do it.
Well, my grandfather was a war hero. He won the Silver Star, and the Bronze Star, he also had Purple Heart with clusters. His story was truly amazing. And he signed up underage because he was orphaned when he was 9 and he had nowhere to go, so he signed up in the military underage and fought.
Was this for World War II?
Yeah, he fought on the Luzon Islands in 1945 on D-Day. And, you know, he actually got shot in the head after they shot him up. Soldier walked up to him and shot him in the head, didn't kill him. The Marines overtook the hill again. They evac'd him out. He had a steel plate his whole life. He was actually John Wayne's stunt double.
Really?
For 25
years. Is he still alive?
No, he just passed away a while back from cancer. But he had an amazing life. But the thing is this, is that the problem with America, or, you know, just in general, I think, people need to step up, take more responsibility, like you said.
Well, that's a good idea, and
yeah.
I think that's what Rangel is angling for.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. I thank you for the call. That's the point. Everybody. But some people calling in. Now, if you're conservative, if you're Republican, if you are a Bush supporter or somebody who is a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, what are your thoughts about the shared responsibility here? Is this in line with your belief system? Where do you stand? I think it's a great idea. I think the more of us who have hands-on responsibilities and obligations in the society, I think the better off we are, the stronger we are. Builds character, builds muscles. It uses muscles that we didn't think we had. And if everybody has to do it, I think we're more committed to the society. Right now, it's sort of like, hey, it's here. It's always been here. It's always been good. It's all good. I don't have to do too much. Pass me the remote. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Traffic a little busier there at 636. We'll see southbound 99 just south of westbound 47th Avenue, a two-car crash. Westbound 90 at 49 and Palmer House Drive at Florin Road. There's a hit and run. No injuries, but the emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Westbound 90 is a little slow, too. And northbound 99 just south of Sutterville Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
America. Stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, we have been talking about Charlie Rangel's, Congressman Charles Rangel's new bill to reinstate the military draft, and it would be for everybody, not just 18-year-olds, 18 to 42. And if there was no war, it would be national service for all U.S. residents. No exceptions, no deferments unless you're a conscientious objector or you have health issues. And I wonder what your thoughts are about it. I think what he's trying to do is make this a shared burden, not just among the all-volunteer Army. And then once you get in, you don't get out, really. Roach Motel. They check in, they don't check out. In the fine print, you're there. You've made a commitment for 8 years. It doesn't matter what the recruiter tells you, how you're going to be out in 2 years and in 15 minutes or in 3 years. You're there for 8 years. And they can keep you there for 8 years, according to many of you who have called in. So it's kind of a sort of a secret backdoor draft. And if there is no war, to do 2 years of a service to the country, I think it makes you appreciate the country more, makes you more committed to what the country is about. I think we are very hands-off. We expect this country to run on cruise control because we have been so lucky. This country has been so successful. Well, not so much anymore. And it turns out that Iraq does not want us to send 21,000 more troops in. They've been lobbying hard for the last several weeks to no avail. Nobody wants us to send 21,000 more troops in. The military brass doesn't want it. The people who have to serve in the military don't want it. The American public doesn't want it. The Congress doesn't want it. The only one who wants it is your president. He's the one who wants this. And so on the strength of one man's petulance and incompetence and corruptness, he is sending 21,000 more people in. And I think that's one of the reasons Rangel has just said, look, enough is enough. Let's just have a discussion about this. I think if it were the possibility of everybody's loved one possibly serving, then I think there would have been much more discussion about going into war. We wouldn't have gone in with our eyes closed. Some of us had our eyes open. And one of the things that we really have only just skirted the surface of in Governor Schwarzenegger's budget, his spending plan that he has released, we know that he wants to make cuts to welfare children if their parents don't work. In other words, the kids have no say-so over whether their parents are going to want to work or not going to want to work, whether their parents are literate or have skills or are meth-addled or drug-addled. I mean, the kid will be punished because the welfare payments to the child will be slashed. And if your parents who don't want to work are deep into drugs, they're not going to even, figure it out. They're going to be so addled, too addled to really care much, I would think. 349-1320. But the budget also proposes, Schwartz's budget also proposes a dramatic policy shift. It would eliminate parole supervision for thousands of nonviolent offenders. No parole supervision for thousands of nonviolent offenders. Actually, that's a good idea. Those of you who have worked for in parole and worked in the prisons or know something about this firsthand, of which we have many, many people here in Sacramento, I would like to hear from you on this one as well. So we're talking about Charlie Rangel proposing to reinstitute the military draft, and not only just the draft in terms of wartime, but public service, even when we're not at war. 2 years of it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And here's the governor's budget plan, and that is, here's how he's going to save some money. No parole supervision for thousands of nonviolent offenders. So if they've been in for drug use or something like that, is this a good policy? Anybody who has worked in the prison system, in the parole system here, in the rehab system, who knows something about this, is this a good idea? Was this wasted money? Maybe it's not wasted money if you were a parole officer. Maybe you won't have such a big caseload. Maybe you won't have a job with this budget. I don't know. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Kenneth and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Kenneth.
Hi, Enid.
Tell me where you stand on the draft.
Well, my stand on the draft is that if you voted for Bush in the 2004 election, that if there is a draft, you should be bumped to the front of the list. Obviously approved of the war at some point.
Who did? Oh, they did. Anybody who was in favor of the war, they get bumped to the top of the list for being drafted?
Yep.
Well, that's not a bad plan, but it's not, and it certainly covers a lot of territory. But I don't think it's what Charlie Rangel has in mind.
No, I'm sure it isn't, and it would probably be frowned upon by the general public.
Well, what about you, Kenneth? But what about you? Would you serve for 2 years if it were required? Everybody has to serve for 2 years, not simply in the military, but national service for 2 years.
I think that is a good idea. I think that it does promote a bit more of a connection with your country, and more importantly, I think it'll make people a lot more aware of our foreign policy agenda. And it might have kept us out of this mess in the first place.
Well, there you go. That maybe if you used diplomacy, you wouldn't have had a war to begin with.
Exactly.
Okay, Kenneth, I thank you. And you know what? Here, we had the weapons inspectors, and the weapons inspectors told us that Saddam Hussein, everything was contained. It was okay. You know, if he was going to act up, we were going to know about it, and then there would have been time to go in. But he was contained. He was not a threat. And what we did is we took our eyes off the ball in Afghanistan. So Osama bin Laden is, you know, getting a pedicures, and he's in a suntan parlor, and he's hooked up to his dialysis machine, maybe, if that story was ever true to begin with. And he's just saying, you know, he's doing fine. Sending out for gourmet meals if you can get him in caves. I don't know. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Brad in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Enid. Hey, listen, I've just been listening to your conversation tonight. I've kind of enjoyed some of the discussion. I was in the military, and I kind of laughed. I know this idea gets floated. It will never happen. I find it kind of interesting that in the discussion that Charles Rangel has been floating this idea for many years. This is not something he just thought of because he was tired of what he's seeing going on. He brought this up in 2002. He brought it up again in 2004.
I've only heard him bringing it up in response to Iraq. Now, do you know for certain that he brought it up before Iraq happened?
Well, since Iraq was going on in 2002.
Yes. So. Well, 2003 for Iraq. But since Iraq, yes. But I haven't heard him bring it up before that.
No, he's brought it up. And so my first question actually for him would be, if he believes so strongly in this, then why was it when this was brought up for a vote in his own house that he voted against it?
Well, I'm not aware that he did. All I know is
in 2004 there was a vote for his bill titled the Universal National Service Act, and you can find this online. It was killed 402-2, and he voted against it himself.
I don't know what that's all about. All I know is he's been touting this for a long time to the point where the Democrats jumped him on it. They want him to shut up over it. So I'm amazed that he's brought it up again.
Well, I think his reasons are suspect, but I don't think it's exactly what he.
What do you think his reasons are?
Well, I think he's trying to hamstring the military. I mean, you kind of said it yourself in a roundabout way. I mean, we wouldn't send our soldiers to war if our own sons and daughters, you know, might be in the line of fire. But I mean, it's an interesting rationale.
Well, let me give you what the New York Times said a couple of days ago. He says. He's talking now about, he is given to speak his mind, is what the New York Times says about him, recently affirming, for example, his support for a return of the draft to highlight the unequal sharing of the burden of war. It is not a popular position. And Mr. Rangel said his party leaders, quote, kindly, end quote, reminded him that it, quote, was not in my jurisdiction, end quote. So they told him, basically, they told him to shut up. But why are you, let me ask you, what's your position on the draft? Everybody does 2 years, whether we're at war or we're not at war.
I don't like the idea. I mean,
why?
I don't want somebody, I mean, I don't want somebody in my military who doesn't want to be there, and you...
No. National service. Everybody doesn't, even if we're not at war, consider national service. What's wrong with that? For 2 years.
Well, then they can do something besides being in the military.
Right. They would have a lot of different options. Hospitals, wherever we need help.
I don't see a problem with that. But,
but everybody would be required to do 2 years. And if we're at war, then that 2 years could include military service.
Right. But the way you've kind of brought it up as well, that they except for conscientious objectors. Well,
there are two classes, conscientious objectors, which I guess all the rich will become, and or the children of affluence will suddenly become conscientious objectors, every single one of them, and health problems.
Well, so would half the people that are calling in today.
Well, even if you're a conscientious objector, let's say this is the equivalent of the champagne unit of the National Guard that Dickie was in, but if you're a conscientious objector because you don't want to go to war, then you're going to have to do some other alternative service, which is what conscientious objectors had to do in Vietnam. They worked in hospitals. They worked in a lot of different places.
Well, I think we're doing just fine with the all-volunteer force. I think.
Well, we're not. We're stretched too thin, and it's disproportionately going to the poorest Americans. The rich have no skin in this game. We know Dickie's twins. Are they? Did they even make a Red Cross bandage? I don't think so.
But that shouldn't be a litmus test for whether or not you can.
I think that,
like,
yes, it should, because I think the more people who are involved in the discussion, I think the more interest is being paid to it, the more eyes are on the problem, and I think that the government doesn't willy-nilly run in because there isn't sufficient scrutiny. That's what I think happens, and it's more of a participatory democracy, Brad. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Scott in... Well, I don't know where you are, Scott. Hi, you're live with Enid. Where are you?
Scott from Meta Vista.
Meta Vista. Well, it's not the same as Medevac, but probably probably cuter. All right, what's on your mind, Scott?
Well, I was responding to something your previous caller just mentioned. I believe that there's a couple of very good reasons to institute a draft, or at least to pursue it, And he was a little bit suspicious of Rangel's motives because he voted against his own.
Well, I wasn't aware that he did, but if that's correct, I don't know. I'm assuming he had pressure of some sort.
No, actually, I believe it is correct. I remember hearing about that myself when it happened. But there's a very good reason to do that. And in parliamentary procedure, if there's going to be a question called about the vote, or if a vote is going to be reconsidered, it can only be reconsidered by someone who has voted for it, not against it. And so if the measure fails, then if you were one that...
All right, this is too complicated for me, but you're telling me there's some parliamentary reason for doing it.
Yeah, parliamentary procedure, so that if he wanted to, if there was some good reason, then he could have asked that it be reconsidered.
Okay. All right, we're gonna leave it there, Scott. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we got a little slow traffic going on at 653 Howe Avenue just south of Arden Way, Elk Grove Boulevard at Wilerga, and Franklin Boulevard at Florin Road. Northbound 99 just south of Sutterville Road, we still do have that accident over there. A couple of cars got into it. We've got emergency vehicles blocking the lane. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's talk radio for the left of us. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sweet Georgia, the morning retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, gee, a San Francisco company is launching meth coffee. Meth coffee. A mysterious San Francisco company has launched an equally mysterious product aimed at coffee drinkers seeking an extra boost. It's meth coffee. It's probably, you know, it's probably same old coffee with a little more caffeine in it. Just like that soft drink that's called cocaine that everybody's screaming about. So now we are doing meth coffee field of rock.